Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Now's the best time to talk. We're tired, we're vulnerable.
Good.
Danny smashing into the microphone.
Adam's on the phone.
No, you know what happens is later on in the day, when we get a little head of steam going,
right.
We loosen up, we break a sweat, and now is the time we're soft, we're complacent.
Pliable.
We're pliable, malleable. Do we need pliable and malleable?
Yes.
You know, I'm not sure that they're the exact same thing. I prefer malleable.
You do?
Yes. Pliable sounds like things you can do to inanimate objects, and malleable sounds like something you can make a girl do.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah, she's really malleable, man.
Yeah. You want to try?
Really pliable means you kind of force stuff to where it didn't want to go.
Yeah, I guess pliable.
So your arm went up behind her back. Listen, man, that goes pliable.
Malleable is 3 Jamesons. Pliable is 5.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to... somebody
I've been to DEFCON 4. So is that.
Look up the difference between malleable and pliable. I do feel like pliable is something that is an object, like something you can do to a piece of plastic.
Hey, this is amazing.
Thank you. And malleable, yeah, that's more of a thing.
But that's exactly what I thought.
If you looked it up, it might not be so far apart.
I
anyway.
Would guess. If it's, what would it say? It would say... In a position to be reshaped in its non-natural form. That, I believe it would be very close to what it would say.
That's your malleable or your
that
pliable.
That would be both. Pliable also sounds like once you get it there, it might stay.
Mm-hmm.
Where malleable means you'd get it there and you'd keep it there as long as you wanted it, then when malleable on back.
I am never going to get tired of this.
I would.
Pliable, a supple enough to bend freely or repeatedly without breaking, yielding readily to others.
Uh-huh. Wasn't bad. That was bad.
Adjustable to varying conditions.
Uh-huh. All right. All right.
I'm feeling very confident about my upcoming.
Now look up malleable.
I'm on it.
Where were we? That's right.
We're all of those things if you call us.
That's right. I woke up late this morning because my alarm didn't go off, and I woke up without my alarm.
Really?
I've done 2 minutes late. My alarm's set for 4:20 usually.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up at 4:22 with no alarm. How'd you do it?
Well... I think I've been doing it. I don't sleep. I don't get that out of it. I'm not one of these. I wish I was. It's one of my greatest laments. I wish I was one of these guys where, you know this guy where you're standing at the foot of the bed? Barry. Hey, dude. Hey, Barry. Oh, Christ. You physically have to shake him. Like, his verbal command, yelling his name out is not going to do it for him. I am the guy who, as you're walking down the hall to come to my bedroom, to open my door to wake me up, I pop up and go, what? What's going on?
I well
hate being that way.
That's weird, because I think that has an underlying meaning of some kind.
Well, in any case, are you capable of being shaped or formed as by hammering or pressure, like a malleable metal?
Mm-hmm.
Which, and metal would stay in that shape. I think I'm very proud of me.
Yeah.
You're both
shocking.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. But do they mean the same thing or not?
Yeah, able to adjust to changing circumstances.
They mean the first half or third is the same. The ending is different.
One stays in that shape?
It's an implied stay with steel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to some people.
Carrie?
Yes?
What's up, brother man?
Good morning. Good morning. Just a big fan, longtime listener, and Adam, you're funny as hell.
Thanks.
And, you know, T, don't worry about them and the vagina thing. But that last joke you got away a couple of days ago when you said, I think it was a morbid bloody sewer hole, not a good name for TV. That just knocked me out. I just about, you know, you were laughing in the background. But anyway.
Right.
No, it's funny because it's true.
I wasn't making fun of her parts. I was saying it's not a good name.
I understand. But,
hey, Carrie.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have any male friends named Carrie.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like a boy named Sue. I didn't have a choice, you know.
No, but I like it. It works. It works pretty well. And you sound like a decent guy.
Yeah, if you change one letter, you could be Cary Grant, and there's a man's man right there.
And how do you spell that?
It's spelled the same.
C, I believe.
He did the C, Cary.
Mm-hmm.
C-A-R-Y.
Uh-huh.
Unless you stuck with his original name, and then you're Archibald Leach, and that's not good.
Well, Leslie and Shirley used to both be boys' names.
Oh, really?
Shirley. Mm-hmm.
Carrie?
Yes?
What are you and your sisters, Leslie and Shirley, going to be doing today?
Yeah.
You going to work?
I'm just working today right now. I'm just driving limo.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear your whole show every day.
Are you going to anyone's any famous people's houses or anything?
Well, actually, I'm going up to Malibu right now. I'm not sure. I don't know this guy's name. So
Dan Summers. Well, yeah. let me give you this quick piece of limo etiquette, Carrie.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
And you guys tell me how you feel. I've been dragged around in a limo quite a few times. And I always want to roll that divider up between me and the driver.
Really?
I do, because I feel like when I'm in the limo, it's not like, oh, I just piled into a stretch limo and you're going to take me down to the store to get a quart of milk, in which case I would be talking your ear off.
Right.
But this is me with a chick that wants to get a little busy, or this is me and a bunch of guys telling off-colored jokes, oftentimes about the nationality of the person that's driving the thing, or it's Kimmel breaking horrible gas and us yelling, or there's some business to be discussed,
right.
You know, you're getting into sensitive whatever, there's prying ears. I feel like I would like that divider rolled up, but I don't want to initiate
it. You cannot initiate
it. Because I feel like a jackass, and if you're that sort of guy who prides himself on being the regular guy from the old neighborhood, then you're a huge a-hole when you get into the limo and up goes the divider. Now, here's what I would like. I would like limo etiquette. I would like everyone who drives a stretch limo who has a divider to get in and say, we are going to your destination. My name is Carrie. If you don't mind, I'll put the divider up, and if you need anything, you just tap
yourself.
The whatever. Then
nice.
It's up. And there it stays. It was your decision. If I need anything, no problemo rolling the thing down. But I don't have that weirdness of having it go up while you're looking
right.
in the rear view.
Because you're the jerk. You're saying, not only am I in a car you can't really afford, you can only drive this car because I'm in it.
Right.
But, you're really separating yourself.
Right.
But for me, and Angie's got a memo from me right this morning. And you know what it says for this concert event we have coming up?
Hmm.
Talks about the limousine she'll send me. And I wrote back, I don't take limousines. I take my Harley Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't, I don't like the whole vibe.
But hold
of
on, to be fair, yeah. I've traveled with him. He puts it in the trunk of the limousine.
Oh yeah, I'm a fool.
And that's where you're right.
Carrie, were you trying to say something?
Yeah, that's a good theory and all. And generally yes, but most people like to talk. You know, usually you're stuck in traffic for an hour.
That's true.
We like to pretend we're the kind of people that wouldn't take the limo. Thus, the kind of people who would talk. We don't want to talk.
No.
And not with the advent of cell phones. So, and because here's your choices. You have multiple people in the limo, oftentimes multiple people. You'll get a town car for, there's one person usually, but if there's more than one, you'll get a limo. Thus, we want to talk to the person next to us, and oftentimes about intimate things or things that have to do with business. We don't want the guy overhearing it. And then the other thing is with a cell phone, in the back of a limo alone, that's prime cell phone talking time.
Yeah. That's perfect business.
I will hire a limo just to circle my block with me in the back so I can get some work done.
Business.
Yes.
Yeah, but we don't want to talk. Right after I got out of or finished breaking Pontiac and was all good and life was wonderful, I got picked up by a Jackson Limousine. It's the company we used at a radio station I was in. And the guy that picked me up had been sober. Now, he's a real ghetto guy. Been sober 17 years.
Oh.
And that's all he wanted to tell me. So that was all right that one time because I could maybe even kind of used it.
Yeah.
Now he has, and they have, because I think of his word, designated him my driver. If I go to the air, no matter where I go, if I have to take one of those cars.
He's in love with this guy.
I have to take this guy who tells me I'll make it, and then I grease him $40, and my wife refuses to believe there's a big gratuity in the price of the limousine.
Yeah. No, I know. That's the other thing.
We've been 40 for boring me about sobriety.
Yes. And I feel that is clash of the sobriety titans, Bonaducci and this guy with 17 years under his belt. But, yes, there are. They have two modes, people who drive you. They have silent, wooden, cigar store Indian, or they have chattering Kathy. Just cannot. I mean, there's no medium.
Right.
There's either talked my goddamn ear off and I couldn't get a word in edgewise, or never opened his mouth. There's no, we had a little back and forth, and that was about it.
My hat.
Right.
There's also only two kinds that I, now this is a racial statement. I know this makes Silver nervous, but I don't mean anything by it. It's just what I've noticed in my experience with these. There's African-American drivers, and there's Eastern Bloc country drivers that all look like they used to work for the KGB. Mm-hmm. They have shaved heads, they don't talk much, and they look straight ahead.
Yes.
That seems to be like it. And then every now and again, a chick.
Yeah, once
every
once
now
once
and
a blue
moon, a chick.
Yeah, with some story about something that makes you somehow jealous of them. Hold on there, Mike. You know, they do. Once in a while, there'll be a guy driving you, and he'll be talking about his boat. And you'll think, how's this guy got a boat? I don't have a boat. This guy's driving me. Where'd he get that boat? And then he'll start talking about some land he has in Florida or something like that. And I think he's overcompensating because he's 2 years older than you are, and he's schlepping your white ass around. So maybe he's trying to overdo it. But still, I start getting jealous of the guy who picked me up.
And there's a chance he actually did it. Do you ever? Now, see, you're that all-around guy that I admire, that you can do so many things that I admire.
Thanks, buddy.
And no problem. I'm not just fatty with a radio DJ. As a man, I think you make a fine... I like the cut of your jib, as you would
thank
say.
You. Thank you.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
Early can't for the find rodeo. More offensive. But anyway, I also don't really know exactly what I was thinking at that time now.
Oh, you're talking about these guys and their potential.
Right. Do you ever... So this probably doesn't happen to you as normally as it happens to me as often. Do you ever get jealous of other couples for being a better and more functioning family than yours?
You know, I don't. I always assume there's emotional problems that they have beneath the veneer. I'll tell you what I do get jealous of. I do get jealous, and maybe this is my time to turn the other cheek on the Ass Kiss Rodeo. The guys that are so in love with their wife that they label them their best friends, say they couldn't function without them, don't want to go anywhere without them. You know, if you say to me, if some guy says to me, look, we need to fly out to New York for 2 days, you got to do this and that, and then you'll be back on Monday.
I wouldn't do it.
I go, fine.
I wouldn't do it.
I don't go, oh, if my wife's not coming, then I'm not going. That I don't do that at all. As a matter of fact, I look at it as a nice little break for my relationship.
I wouldn't go.
You wouldn't go?
No, not a chance in the world.
Unless Gretchen went.
If Gretchen, and she is up right now, just right now listening, if you would ask her what I said to her yesterday, because we had this whole big thing on the first season of Break Bonaducci, she doesn't know how to say I love you. Everything's just fine. A house could be on fire, and it's, you know, it will go out.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be pouring my heart out, and she'd say, yeah, that's sweet. That's the do-all, end-all of her emotional relationship with almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying for 17 years to convince her of how to participate in my heavy playground of love. And yesterday's it was, you're so tired, just go take a nap. And she had something really hard to do, and she'd gotten to sleep all day. And I see, that's the point. It would bring a smile to my face to work that hard for you. It would let you know he's not kidding. That man would do anything for me.
See, I feel...
Nothing from her.
I feel you're like 9.5, and I'm like a 3.2 in my relationship,
which
means I'll never
guy.
Get divorced. But all I'm saying is I do wish I had that. I do see that guy.
I'm
goes,
so proud that you see that. Thank you.
I'm not going anywhere without my wife. She is my partner. She is my best friend. And I look at that guy, and I'm like, you pathetic. I'm jealous.
I'm waiting to meet that guy.
She actually had to
sitting
tell
right
me.
Next to you.
She actually had to tell me that. And I should have thought of it being as love as I am, that calling her at every single break makes it very difficult for her to cook breakfast and pack lunches.
Wow.
But for 10 years, I called her every single commercial break and song just to hear her voice.
This confuses me because I don't know. Is that how it's supposed to be?
No, I don't think it is.
I'll tell you what you'd like. You'd like if there was a stool between Danny and I.
Yeah.
Maybe even a
right there,
little
yeah.
closer to
closer
Danny,
Danny.
But just a half a click closer to Danny. That's the guy you'd want to date.
I, you know what? Can I tell you? Because that's a thing in my home and always has. I really appreciate that you see that.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and we're jealous.
Yes. Well, partially. Partially,
yeah,
because it's a it, there's a, also an element of it is, well, then you are emotionally connected to this person in such a way that it's going to be hard to go to New York alone and do some business.
No, it wouldn't be because I won't go.
Well, there you go. But hypothetically, there may come a time, or it is mathematically possible, that you have to do something.
If I have to, I can. I'm
right.
not strong. If
That's
I have
what I'm
to,
saying.
I can do something.
Now, if you have to do it...
But let me put it this way, and this is, I think, everybody will understand. If it was, You can make $25,000 for the weekend doing stand-up comedy at Yuck Yucks in New York City, but Gretch can't make it that weekend. It wouldn't even occur to me to go.
All right. Now, Gretchen, shut your radio so we can get the truth. Mike?
How's it going, Ace?
Good. You want to know what kind of car to get?
Yeah, basically, I'm wondering, like, bang for buck. Should I go for something like an entry-level BMW, like a 330i or an Audi? Or something, like, sporty that'll save me $8,000, like a Mini Cooper, Cooper S, or like a Mazda 3 speed, or, you know, something like that?
I haven't liked those little Coopers. I think they're cute as hell.
I have a Cooper S, and it is a fun-ass car, which is much bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. I don't know how that's mathematically possible, but there's more.
I don't think it is, actually, but I'm with you.
The S is 22,
wow.
Something like that.
It's reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. They're totally cheap. They're cheap cars. They're basically made by BMW, and they work.
And I've gotten to the point in my life where I could drive one. I bought a very nice car for myself with a trade-in, and got a 1986 VW Volkswagen Rabbit with a torn convertible roof as a gift for my wife's brother, who had no car.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have one of them, too.
And it was bogging me one day. And, yeah. And so I went to take it to work, and I took it to work, and I had a meeting at the Mondrian Hotel later that day, and I called my wife, and she goes, how are you going to get there? I said, oh, I've got that Rabbit. And she said, I'll bet you $500. You don't have the balls to pull up at the valet at the Mondrian in an 86 Rabbit with a torn roof. And she was right.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring
it.
Myself to
car,
go see.
Car
now, that was about 10 years ago. I'm much more confident. I would think now about getting one of those electric cars now.
Well, it's shabby chic now. But here's the deal. Never a better time. I've said it many times. Never a better time to be poor. You can get yourself a big screen TV for fairly cheap. All the cars work. Even the cheap little sort of Scions and the entry level whatever, the
a
little
Corolla
pillboxes.
Is like $13,000.
Yes, everything works. They have air conditioning.
Yeah,
you can throw a little satellite in there. It all works. But that Mini S, that is a fun car. Don't like front wheel drive cars, but I'll make an exception
so
for that one.
I don't like front wheel drive cars. Is it just from being a teenager or wanting to burn out?
No, there is a handling issue. But for that car, it definitely works. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to, speaking of mechanical stuff, Glenn Reynolds, who's an editor or a contributing editor over Popular Mechanics. He's at the CES show, is it Consumer Electronics? Yeah, out in Vegas, and he's going to give us a little tech update. I know it doesn't sound like a brouhaha and a laugh, nonstop laugh fest, but don't worry, we're going to learn something.
Is it a gadget thing?
Yes, I want to know.
They're home runs.
I want to know what the latest whatever is. I want to know if I should go get the new TiVo or wait 6 months until whatever comes out. All right, we'll do that. After this.
Stick around. There's more coming up with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? We're going to talk to the Def Rock guy. We're going to play What Can't Adam Complain About? And we'll interview porn legend Jenna Jameson. Oh, man, I've got so many questions for her. What's Ron Jeremy like? Is Peter North a nice guy? Hey, I'll be doing some research in the Jackman's office if you need me. Hey, the Jackman's office, that's a good name for Teresa's vagina, which we'll be naming later. Silver, out!
Thanks, Jack. Now back to Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. Glenn Reynolds. Nerd, Glenn Reynolds, is on the phone. Glenn?
I prefer the term geek.
I'm sorry, you're geek. You're geekdom. Good to speak to you. Consumer Electronics Show, CES, you're out in Vegas right now?
Yeah.
Is the show going on all this week?
Yes, well, it goes on through tomorrow.
I see. And you're also covering the CES for Popular Mechanics, yes?
That's right. There is nonstop coverage at popularmechanics.com. There's a whole section on the show with lots of reports and video and photos and stuff of what's going on.
Is there a particular gadget this year that everybody says, okay, that's the one, gotta have that?
No, it's not one of those years, and I think that's caused a lot of people to be sort of vaguely depressed or down, although I talked to I talked to a guy, Greg Weinstein, who's a consumer electronics maven. He's been going to these for 20 years, and he says that people are wrong to think that way, that the exciting stuff is never the stuff that everybody talks about anyway. It's always the stuff in the little booths that nobody's paying attention to. And actually, yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff there. My favorite is the remote-controlled ornithopter. It's called the Dragonfly, and it looks like a dragonfly, and it costs $40, and it buzzes around. You can make it fly around people's heads while they swat at it, and they have great fun annoying your friends. And it's actually the first working ornithopter anybody's made and sold. That's been like a holy grail.
You're kidding.
Aeronautics for years, and it turns out as a toy for $40.
Wow. I've seen many prototypes ornithopters, but I've never seen one go into manufacturing.
Do you remember Da Vinci's ornithopter that never actually took off?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is made by the people who make the Robo Sapiens and the Robo Raptor, which a lot of people like.
Now, this thing actually has wings. It's not a blade. It's not a blade on the top.
Yep,
let me tell you something. I think Da Vinci gets way too much credit because he does that thing where it's like, hey, he predicted there'd be a helicopter. Oh, he predicted there'd be elevators. He predicted. Yeah, who cares? I'm going to make some predictions. Well, one day people will be transported without actually having to climb and do it. I'll just make a whole bunch of predictions. I won't do anything. And then one day when eventually technology catches up to my predictions, I'll be hailed as a genius.
I halfway agree with you.
Thank you.
His helicopter would not have worked.
Thank you.
But his parachute they built to scale and it worked.
All right. So everyone gets lucky once in a while. Glenn?
Especially the guy that jumped.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a couple of things. Here's one of the things I've always been interested in is digitally storing things, such as I would like to have, instead of 300 DVDs, I would like them to digitally be stored. Now, I know you get that with the TiVo, but the TiVo can't hold a library of 300 CDs.
Right.
What do they have out there for that?
The closest thing to that, and I actually think it's the biggest news so far at the conference, is what Sony's going to do. Their new line of Bravia big screen TVs is going to have something called the Bravia Internet Video Link, and they're actually going to get you HDTV over the Internet for free from AOL Video, Yahoo Video, and a sort of a YouTube-like startup called Groupers. So that they're basically putting together their own HDTV network and bypassing the cable companies and such completely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free. Did I mention it doesn't cost
anything? Yeah, and so you'll be able to get movies on demand? Or
movies, TV shows, old episodes of 60s sitcoms.
Well, there's cutting you off, but there's a good one, which is I feel like for the last 5 years, they've been saying next year, next year, next year, you'll be able to access any movie you want. I mean, when you look down the pay-per-view line, you see three Ashton Kutcher movies that you intentionally missed when they were at the theater 6 months ago, and not much else. I feel like there's sometimes you get a hankering.
Christopher Atkins movies.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to see a Christopher Atkins movie.
Yes.
No, there's sometimes you're sitting around and you think, I want to see that movie Pepillon from 1972 with Steve McQueen.
And Dustin Hoffman
in it, but it's nowhere to be found. Aren't we in a day and age where we should be able to access that, where it should be in some bank somewhere?
Yeah, and it's coming that way from two directions. I mean, I think the Internet solution is one. And, you know, they showed some of the high-def Internet video that their thing produced, and it looked pretty good. It wasn't quite as good as full-blown 1080i HDTV, but it looked pretty darn good.
See, this is a little technical for me. I also know that the AVNs are in Las Vegas, so I'm wondering where I would find this particular electronic gadget, which would seem like I could find it either place. Have you ever heard of a thing called the Rabbit?
Yes.
No.
It's a battery-operated device for adults, for women.
Oh, yes, that one.
It looks like an aardvark on the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be at the Consumer Electronics Show?
No, you know, they used to have an adult show as part of Consumer Electronics, and then when they got respectable, they booted it off. But actually, the Adult Entertainment Awards show is
there is nothing not respectable about the Rabbit. It picks off where the Dan leaves off.
Hold on. Let me turn Teresa's on right now. There we go.
Have you ever seen one?
Huh. That's nice.
Not bad, huh?
They're like $150. You ever seen one?
Oh, yeah. All my girlfriends have that.
Do you have one?
I don't own one.
You get one.
What is the range, though? I mean, you turn it on and then put it up there, or do you walk around with it up there?
I will tell you my... No. It's big. It's fairly big. It's bigger than my personal unit.
But it's not bigger than an actual rabbit.
No. Okay. It's okay. Say, the color of mine.
Does it have ears?
It looks just like a unit, except the one bad part is there's a giant battery pack on the back, so you can't actually see a lot of the stuff that's happening.
But does it have Bluetooth, Glenn Reynolds?
As far as I know, there's no Bluetooth rabbit out there. But how about, somebody's rubbing their hands together right now planning that.
How about blue balls?
That could be a consequence.
Yeah, no, mine has.
Yes, yours comes
so,
out.
Okay, mine's so it's a normal end. Mm-hmm. Then the shaft of it is filled with bigger than buckshot ball bearings.
Holy crap.
And they spin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, into the shaft. Then at the very back, there's a thing shaped like an aardvark or a rabbit or whatever you want to call it, but it sticks up off the shaft, and it does that. So parts of it in, ball bearings turning, aardvark doing that.
Hey, Glenn, are you a married?
People's head blow up.
Glenn, are you a married tech guy?
I am.
Really? Someone would have you.
Dude, he has access to the rabbit.
He knows a lot of stuff.
Well, now, Glenn. What is the, tell us about this iPod phone, because I'm thinking about one of those babies.
Yeah, are they any good?
Yes.
We'll have to see if they're any good. It looks pretty cool. It's basically one big screen. You know, it's just a gigantic touch screen on the front with no real buttons. The question I have looking at it is how the battery life's going to be. What I like about my cell phone is it actually works as a cell phone, and the battery lasts a long time.
Yeah, mine too.
And, you know, a lot of cell phones they sell now, they do every single thing except actually let you call people. They always make that kind of hard. And then the battery life's really short. So
My agent does everything but get me work.
Yeah, also, I feel like a lot of people, I see people, I like the idea that my cell phone, while only a cell phone with maybe a calculator or something built into it, it feels like a phone. I see people walking down the street, it's like they're talking into a day planner.
Yes.
Like they're holding an encyclopedia up to the side of their head, and it feels nothing like a phone.
I prefer that to the little ear pod that unless you're looking at the exact right direction, you can't see that they're talking to anyone.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Mad. The guy at 7-Eleven this morning just seemed insane to me.
Because he was talking into his earbuds.
I yelled Mubarak Ho, which means congratulations in Hindi, and that was that he paid attention.
Hey, hey, Glenn Reynolds of Popular Mechanics. Can I ask you a quick question that has nothing to do with consumer electronics?
Sure.
But it has to do with Popular Mechanics?
If you want to talk to Jack Silverletter again.
It seems like we've been flying. You know anything about airplanes? Seems like it has taken the exact same length of time to get from L.A. to New York since about 1963, maybe 64. It's about 6 hours. Planes have become a little more fuel efficient, a little more comfortable, but the time is exactly the same. Because they're all traveling about 550 or 600 miles an hour, and that literally hasn't changed in 40 years. When are we going to do something about that? And is there anything on the horizon to get us over to New York or over to Europe faster?
Alas, making planes go faster than the speed of sound is a lot of fuel, so it's very difficult. We'll see suborbital rocket flights probably before we'll see supersonic air. The other problem you got is that
he's getting another call on his rabbit.
Right.
It actually gets longer to travel because the hassles at both ends have gotten worse, not better.
Right.
You know, in 1960, you could get out, you basically could run up and board the plane just before it took off and be gone. No security, no hassle, no baggage problems.
What you're saying
you
is,
could take it off and land it, too, back in the 60s.
What you're saying is basically that you could get to New York nowadays with technology in 11 minutes. It's just getting away from the gate and then pulling up to the terminal that's the other 6 hours.
That's probably about right.
All right, good to know.
What's going on, basically, is the airlines have said, we would rather be fuel efficient than get people there faster for more money. Essentially, we're going to buy a fleet of buses, not Ferraris. It's just more. Your average guy would rather spend $350 going to New York and have it take 2 hours longer than spend $2,000 and get there in 3 hours.
And you'd rather get a cheaper flight than be comfortable. Everybody bitches about the seats and the food, but they'll pick the flight that costs $20 less.
Right.
So well, I got to tell you, because they give me first-class seats when I travel to do a show or something, and I always trade them in for the money.
Oh, you do?
Well, I'm 5'6" and don't drink. Oh. It's all first class.
Yeah. Good point. Glenn? I like the cut of your jib, Glenn Reynolds.
Well, thanks for having me.
Perhaps you could come back and talk to us again sometime.
Love to.
Glenn Reynolds, contributing editor, Popular Mechanics Magazine, also law professor at the University of Tennessee.
Wow. Smarty pants.
This guy's got some range. We need to take a break. When we come back, something I picked up at AdamCarolla.com looking at the message board. Oh, sure, we've named Tease V, as I like to call it, before, but somebody decided movie titles for Teresa's parts.
Nice.
Seem to work very nicely, and for some reason, they're almost all hysterical. Even the non sequitur ones are funny.
Like Thelma and Louise would make no sense, but still be like.
Still good. Yeah, okay. Everything's good.
Everything works.
Yeah. Charlotte's Web. You do.
Clan of the Cave Bear.
Yep, Schindler's List. Well, all right. We need to take a break. 866-901-ADAM. You can give us a call and chime in, although we have a extensive list that I'm going to pull off the web. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Throughout the past year, we've been naming Teresa's vagina. We've tried stadiums.
We have Valley of the Sun.
Monster Park.
Geographical landmarks.
The Grand Canyon.
No, that's insulting, but City of Industry.
Band names.
Or Sugarloaf. Cake.
And now it's movie titles. Call in with yours at 866-901-ADAM. Back to Adam, Teresa, and Danny on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I can't take credit for this stroke of genius. This was you people on AdamCarolla.com. And just a few of your suggestions we got off the web, as good as it gets.
I like that.
Complimentary. Nice. Cocoon. Apocalypse Now.
I don't know.
Pleasantville.
I think Soledad O'Brien already has that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they named hers on CNN this morning.
Right underneath Pleasantville, they have the Poseidon Adventure.
Shelley Winters is in there.
Waterworld. Is she?
Yes, it's uncomfortable.
God, you must be huge if you got Shelley Winters in there.
Resident Evil. Well, Brian likes that one.
Brian, beside himself.
The Apartment, The Big Lebowski, Supersize Me.
Oh, no. Blackbeard.
Bloodsport.
Huh.
Yeah. Red Dawn, Stalag 17. Some of these get insulting. Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, that's adorable.
The Village of the Damned. You can see that one. Field of Dreams.
That's nice.
Here's a nice one. Monster House.
Huh. Mm-hmm. It's animated, at least.
Yeah, right.
Hotel Rwanda.
A lot of bloodshed.
Now, just I mean, I like you and I'm warm to you, but I haven't, you know, gotten any.
Sure.
But one of my favorite kids' movies, Ice Age.
Nice.
Down there, maybe.
Nice. Teen Wolf, The African Queen, Donnie Darko. I like
The African Queen. That's Johnny Mathis.
It's Humphrey Bogart, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's a Humphrey Bogart movie. It's Johnny Mathis' description.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm just happy my vagina can be the muse of our listeners.
Oh, it certainly is. I got one movie I saw in the 10th grade. Motel Hell.
You check in, but you don't check out?
Yeah. He's, well, what happens is you could tell, I don't know when they stopped doing this, but if anyone is making movies is listening, that thing where there's a sign and the neon is bad, so it goes evil.
Right.
It was called Motel Hello. Which is a fine piece of movie writing, except for the part where no one would name their goddamn hotel,
right.
The motel, hello.
maybe Hello Kitty, which is also another good name.
Right.
Yes.
You know what, if you also, you could took, and we'll get straight back to your titles, which are great, but if you took plots as well, what if there was a Chilean rugby team, and their plane crashed?
And they'd eat
and
each other.
Vagina.
You know, if you took plots, the most, probably the most true to life, and my closest friends will know this is true, 12 Angry Men.
Right. Put a
is
zero.
Is that an exact number?
That's about, just about right.
If you two zeros and you're right there.
Why?
You're right there.
Why?
Darren?
I figure any chick with more than a jury is a slut.
Darren?
What's up, guys?
You got a name for Tease V, as I like to say?
Yeah, T, I'm not here to offend you, but first thing that came to mind was Hamburger Hill.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, it's interesting.
It's a good war movie. It's a good war movie.
Yes, you right. Say I'm not here to offend you and then go with Hamburger Hill about her vagina.
Listen,
but this is all in good fun,
it's clever,
or they wouldn't
Jeremy.
Have done it. So
right.
we get you, you're not
it's
here to offend.
It's better than guess who's coming to dinner.
There's great love. Eight men out.
Change a couple of words on that.
Tom?
What up, Adam?
What's happening? Or just spell eight differently. Yes, go ahead.
Got a name for TV, man. Mystic River.
Oh, I like that.
The Mystic
nice.
River. Sleek and sexy.
Yeah.
And also Sean Penn's in it.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, nice to have you on the show, buddy.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for saying so.
Nice change from Dave Damage.
But we don't care who it's like Adam. I don't care who it's a nice change from. I appreciate that you think it's good that I'm here. Thank you.
You just sounded too much like Adam, but...
All right,
like
but listen, can you...
Dude, could you just give me my compliment and then not hurt anybody's feelings?
Yeah, here's my hypothetical for you, Tom. Can you give someone a hug without kicking the next guy in the shin? You know what I mean? I feel like some people need to give you a hug and then turn around and kick somebody in the shins.
Yeah.
Just give them a hug.
I've been calling Teresa lately with, as I've said a million times, I'm on MySpace. And if they just love us, it's great. And I write back, thank you. If they just hate us and all want us to die of cancer, I kind of ignore it. And say, if you can't find a nicer way to talk to me, don't write me. I'm busy.
Right.
But people are being really... excellent, like, critiques of the show that where you can think, you know, you're right, if I did a little more of that or a little less of this. People are really good in general.
I know. It's sad. And it's sad when you hear a critique where you go, wow, they're
yeah,
right.
That's right.
It's one thing if you're not fat and someone calls you fat ass, you can laugh it off. But if you feel a little pinch around the belt line and someone calls you fat ass, it hits home.
I had to write back to you because I got one once and mentioned it to you. And then Gretchen mentioned yesterday that I'd gotten three or four more on the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had to write the back and explain myself. But it is something I totally do. And when five people that listen, that's a pretty big sampling of people who will write.
Well, what is it? Just because it'd be bad radio not to get into it.
It would also be bad radio for me to just keep going until you asked me. Mm. I'd be happy to tell you, Adam.
Yes.
It is that, well, what they perceive to me, and then I'll give you my explanation, is that I'm the topper guy.
Mm-hmm.
You tell a story, and then I top it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not what I mean to do at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I've lived such a bizarre life. If you were to tell a story, said, and then one night, and then this guy, he pulls a gun on me, and I was scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
I would either have to say, wow, that's fascinating, or go, God, I know what you mean, one time, but then she shot me right in the chest. I've been shot in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to top you, but you got a gun pulled. I've been shot in the chest.
Well,
I don't mean to top anybody. It's just a story.
There's no story that can be brought up that doesn't remind you of another story.
Right.
I have that gene as well.
I told my wife about that. We had a long conversation about you, not all of it pleasant.
Mm. Well, maybe we can get into that because...
It was weird for a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what's going on? T...
Yes.
Put your V on ice for a second. Cool, it's jet.
Well, all's quiet on the Western Front down there. Let's talk about Danny and his wife. It's happening.
Well, it started out, it's me. And by the way, one of the, you know, Adam said this morning, he's jealous. It was very sweet of him. The way I love my wife is like, it is pretty cool to feel that much in love. It's a pretty amazing feeling. But there's also, as you've seen, a little bit of a dark side to it. So she's telling me how great the show sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for 17 years, when she says how great the show sounds, she means the Danny Bonaducci show.
Same with my wife, by the way.
Now, all of a sudden, when she's telling me how great the show sounds, what she's actually saying is the Adam Carolla show, which is fine. That was part of the deal coming in the door. Could not care less. I've done okay in my life. I'll be part of the Adam Carolla show. I told them, I said, for 50 extra bucks, you can call it the Adam and Dickhead show. Fine with me. Don't care.
I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, apparently.
All right. Well, then it's changing it.
I wanted
to call it that when Damashek was here, but I thought we couldn't get it past censors.
So anyway.
That's when I used to call my vagina the crying game.
So, right.
Then I told her something that my boss had said to me, said, when Adam gets on one of his rolls, one of his rants, and really gets going, you need to back up and get out of his way, because Adam is really good. That's an Adamism or something he called it.
Mm-hmm.
And before I can say something snide at your expense, my wife goes, oh, that's totally true. He is so fascinating. When he gets, the way he speaks is so clever, and the way he twists the word, with the way the talk, the way I talk about myself, the way he can twist the sentence and make it just right. And then she used the word riveting.
Mm.
And that went from admiration in my sick mind to sex.
Really? She, how?
Because it's a rivet.
Well, yeah. A rivet, yeah. Isn't a rivet, Adam? You know this from construction.
I think of maritime construction when I hear riveting or high rise.
Not necessarily, but for some reason, all of a sudden, literally, she's complimenting my work. She really is. The woman's completely innocent, and I mean to cast no aspersions, but I do get jealous. So all of a sudden, I'm, instead of saying thank you that the show sounds good and that I'm helping to make Adam sound better and that I'm helping to make you sound better and we both together make him, so instead of saying just thanks, I went, really? Exactly how fascinating is Corolla? How riveting is Corolla?
Well, that's an, you know, there's an
issue. It was really weird because it came and went really fast, I want you to know. But she doesn't speak like that because she does happen to find me fascinating, interesting, well-spoken, smart, all that stuff.
Well, I think Adam has something riveting to add.
I have something riveting to add.
Please
thank
do.
You. Which is, it just dawned on me that when a guy is talking to his wife about a woman he works with or he's seen on TV or whoever, and he says, wow, she's smart, and you know what? She's funny. She's clever. She's riveting. That's not threatening to the woman because we're not saying she's good looking,
right.
She's tall, she's skinny, she's tan, she's whatever. But because...
Greta Van Buren.
Because, right, because...
Grandsestern?
Good enough.
Abigail Van Buren. Either one.
One of them tried to kill their millionaire husband. The other one is on CNN. Either way, it's a nice hybrid.
Actually, they've both been on CNN now.
The point is when a woman says to a man, to her husband or boyfriend, hey, this guy I work with, this guy's sharp as a tack. He is funny and smart. Because women's attraction is not just limited to the physicality,
right.
That can be taken as threatening.
No, the fact that I'm in good shape instead of bad shape means nothing to her. Nothing. That's not an issue with her.
That's the point. Most women who, especially we're talking about someone they're attracted to, once they get to a certain age, yeah, if they're 19 and popping gum and going to junior college, maybe not. But most women who are a little more mature, who are a little more intelligent, when they're talking about a guy being sharp as a tack or being riveting,
point, husband, father material.
As opposed to a guy who looks good in tight jeans, they're probably going to go toward the riveting rather than the
right,
tight jeans.
Right.
So it can be taken as a threat.
Would you be jealous, Adam, if your wife said, boy, you know, I was talking to this guy is really charming and really with it and really insightful?
I've got to say, is this a Billy Joel song?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. The point is if my wife said this guy's a hunk, well, I can see he's a hunk,
right.
And so
right,
can
me too.
So
I'm
can,
not
so can
down
everybody completely. Around him, and so can his five girlfriends.
Right.
So no problem there. But yeah, if they said this guy's really smart and he's interesting and he's funny and he's dynamic, yes, then all of a sudden I would start feeling insecure.
I'm going to avoid doing that. You want to hear? Here's the weirdest part on my part. This is a very weird thing I like to say. I don't even really mean it, so don't hold me to it like I think I'm so badass.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I will say to my wife, because I did this very specific thing with my education at a certain point in my life for a decade. And the karate and the bricks and all that, and scraping in the street, drunk and all that stuff. I say to my wife every now and again, the toughest guy in the room and the smartest guy in the room are never the same guy till I get there.
Blowhard alert.
Oh, yeah, totally, wow. Totally. This is me being Danny Bonaduce, Italian drama queen.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, I don't know what you actually know, but you speak, and it says American genius. You are a really bright cat. No two ways about that.
I came up with that and then told Kimmel to make it his idea, so I didn't seem like a pompous ass.
But yeah. You're also, you're real articulate. You're 6'2". You taught boxing. So, you know, for a second there was that in my mind, too. Like, well, who am I working with? Who is this really smart boxing guy?
Are you in love with Adam?
I'm loving this show. I got to tell you something. Damashek sat there for 1 year and never looked at me.
His life is hanging by a thread.
You're on the cusp of being in love with him and being threatened by him.
You know, if for lack of a better term of love, I do get man crushes all the time.
A lot
of the time.
please let's not have our last exchange be, if I can't have you, nobody will. Because I feel like that may be the last exchange we have.
Also, I think a lot of guys get man crushes on you, Adam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm a man crush guy. Vince Neil had a man crush on me. He wouldn't leave me alone.
That is another topic, which is, and this is, we should talk about this, which is, I have no gay guys come after me. It's one of my greatest laments in life. I never get the gay guy coming after me, which means you're just not physically attractive.
No, it's not, you're not fit enough. Your six-pack isn't happening.
Right. But there is the man crush, the non-gay man crush.
Totally.
I'm trying to think of the guy.
But I wouldn't cop to this if I didn't know there was a non-gay man crush.
There is a top 10 list of guys, some celebrities, some not, who society probably has a non-gay man crush on.
You're
know
on
what I
that
mean?
List.
Yeah,
on that
like
list.
Every guy I know would probably like to go out and tilt some beers with The Rock.
Yeah.
He's big and he's strapping, but he's articulate and interesting.
Yeah. Matt Leiner.
And if you got into a scrap, he'd have your back.
Oh, he got your back.
And that guy's smart and he's a Renaissance man and blah, blah, blah.
A guy that doesn't do a lot of that stuff that just would have your back because it's his responsibility as your buddy, no matter how bad things get, that's a man crush. A guy that's got your back. That's a man crush.
Well, let's talk about, we need to take a break. We're running woefully behind.
Our callers had such good names.
I know. Let me just fire through a few of them. Big Mama's House. Very solid. The Forgotten.
Oh.
The Never Ending Story.
That's nice.
The Matrix. An Inconvenient Truth.
Nice.
Could be the front runner.
She almost got that from the Mad MySpace date.
Animal House.
Raucous.
Very easy. Lethal Weapon / Office Space. Mm. A one-twoer. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. This is from Dina, by the way. There's not a human being under 40 named Dina. Dina, how old are you?
I'm 35.
Oh.
No, I'm 36.
All right.
Thank you,
close
Dina.
Enough. I feel like you're the youngest living Dina. Like there'll never be another human being named Dina.
Gladys.
Okay, I think you are right. I want to say something. You guys are fantastic. Danny, you're great.
Thank you.
I do miss Dave Damashek's number one sports, though.
And
the creep of the week.
I do miss the creep of the week as well. All right, Dina.
What was the creep
good
of the week?
Good to be here, baby doll.
Well, have a great day.
I have no idea I would tune out during it, but it was 8 minutes a week where I didn't have to do anything.
Oh, nice.
And that's why I miss it. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll do the news when we come back, but then after that, maybe we'll get into this man crush thing. Straight guys that you would have a crush on.
This is a perfect name for it, too, because if you ever go out with that guy, you meet him and you get your man crush, and for some reason you end up going somewhere together, it's called a mandate.
Mandate.
Yeah.
Yes, a mandate. T?
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, I don't know if you'd have a man crush on Donald Trump, but this feud has reached epic proportions.
I know.
He's now written a letter. He's slamming Barbara Walters. I'm going to read that to you. And also, Will Smith, who a lot of guys do have a man crush on.
Good candidate for man crush.
He has a tip that will get you into women's pants.
Mm.
Yeah, diet down to a size 7.
We'll take ourselves Danny. Danny, who was donning a pair of women's pants yesterday.
The ones yesterday? I forgot. I bedazzled those front pockets myself.
We'll take ourselves keep that on a permanent loop, would you, Brian?
I'll bring in my bedazzler. I'll do something for you right here. I'm good at it.
We'll take a quick break. Do you have a bedazzler?
I have 4 bedazzlers.
Wow. Glue gun?
No, don't need a glue gun. They're the nude bedazzler. You also don't even need a back. You put the jewel in where you want it, boom, it's in.
Okay. Now I feel like we need to dedicate an hour to Danny's bedazzler, which also, the bedazzler, good name for TV.
Nice.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with news after this.
Don't go anywhere because there's a lot more coming up. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
A man in Missouri and his girlfriend got into a fight. Her cell phone ended up shoved down her throat.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
Take it away, T.
President Bush is expected to tell the nation tonight in an address that he will send more than 20,000 additional American forces to Iraq, acknowledging, he's expected to acknowledge, that is, that it had been a mistake earlier not to have had more troops fighting the war. This, according to an administration official. Now, some of the Democrats already planning to oppose this, in particular, Ted Kennedy, Nancy Pelosi. He should be speaking for a little over 20 minutes tonight, and he's going to tell the American people why a gradual buildup, some are calling it a surge, of 20,000 additional U.S. troops, is going to help Iraq's economy and is going to be an answer to the war, which has been going on almost 4 years and has gotten deadlier with no end in sight, some
well,
say.
Two observations. First off, Surge.
Surge.
Couldn't be on my man crush list. No guy named Surge could be on my man crush list. And secondly, when it comes to war, it seems to me, I'm no military strategist, but I do know this. It's sort of like going out into the ocean. You should either be on the sand where it's safe and dry or past the breakwater where you're not being pummeled. It's the halfway
no man's
where
land.
You get your ass kicked.
Right.
And I feel like we've been halfway for about the last 3 years
in
getting our ass kicked. We either pull up stakes, go to the beach and crack a beer, or we hit the landing craft and head on out to the open water. But halfway doesn't work.
It's a nice way because you don't want to come off a warmonger and end up on YouTube. But yeah, you either want to split and say, okay, we didn't do it right, or how about, oh, I don't know, win by a bazillion times. You know, there's just, we could win in an hour.
Yeah, well, probably take an hour, 15 hours, hour and a half. But yes, I agree. In or out is my thing. And if we're going in, let's go all in.
Yeah.
Well, it should be interesting to hear what the president has to say.
Oh,
tonight.
It'll be easy sell.
Yeah. Well, another bloody war. Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell. Just when you thought it was over, it continues. Now, the latest is that Donald Trump wrote a bizarre letter to Rosie O'Donnell, as reported in the New York Post. And let me just read you a few snippets.
Yeah, I heard about this last night.
He said, to be exact, she said that, talking about Barbara Walters and Rosie O'Donnell, to be exact, she said that working with her is like living in hell. And more pointedly, Donald, never get into mud with pigs. And don't worry, she won't be here for long.
Yeah, so now just to put a fine point on this, what happened was, is Donald, who presumably has some relationship with Barbara Walters.
Yes, they're friendly.
Been on the show, right, know each other, both live in the same city. Spoke to Barbara Walters as if I had ran into you at a restaurant and you started complaining about Teresa. And I said, yeah, I feel you, brother.
She won't be around for long.
I've had an assful of her, and don't worry, her days are numbered.
Right.
No,
that's
this
exactly
isn't hypothetical. Teresa.
This is a conversation where I just hit the smoke pit.
That's right. That's right.
Adam which is any at the smoke pit.
Which is anywhere Danny eats, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Or Svans.
All right, so they had this conversation.
Yes,
and then what he did, what Donald did, is he sort of broke whatever golden rule there is, which is he said to Rosie, hey, I talked to your boss. She hates your guts. And then what Barbara did is the only thing Barbara could do, which would be the same thing, by the way, I'm going to do, Teresa, when Danny says this to you. I will deny it.
Right. When I tell you, you know, when he leaves, he wasn't kidding. I don't think he likes you. I think your days are numbered. And you ask him, he's going to say I'm a liar. And, you know, Bobby's just, he just got in here. He wants to be more powerful. He'll say all that, but it's true. He wants you gone.
What Trump did is exactly what you said, Adam. He went on Larry King Live and he said, Barbara Walters doesn't like Rosie either. And Barbara Walters said Rosie's out. And then exactly Barbara had to defend herself. Now, Donald, in the letter, basically said that Barbara Walters is a liar. And he said, that he also describes in this letter running into Barbara Walters at Le Cirque and saying, asking how Rosie was doing. She sarcastically rolled her eyes and said, Donald, do you have to ruin my meal?
Well, here's the truth. The truth is somewhere in between, which is when you're talking to someone, especially like Donald Trump, and you know Trump hates this person you're working with. Like if I ran into Trump and I knew he hated producer Angie, just out of respect and just to keep him moving along, and he said, "How's producer Angie?" I'd go, you know, producer Angie's Angie, you know what I mean? And just to get him to move along so you don't get into that, "I disagree. I'm a big fan of Angie's. Right. How dare you?"
It doesn't solve anything. You don't profit from it.
Right.
And he, it was a light. It could be conceived as a lighthearted comment like, "Oh, yeah, you know, don't ruin my meal."
But the other side of that coin is, do you think there's a human being who's worked closely with Rosie O'Donnell in the last 20 years that doesn't think she's a C?
No.
Well, let me tell you how he closed the letter. He said, "In any event, you have good reason to be angry. Please give my warmest regards to Kelly." That's her partner. "Sincerely, Donald J. Trump. P.S. I was surprised that you let your spat with Barbara get into the newspapers. But as I have always said, and as you proved with Rosie the magazine, you are a very self-destructive person. You must work on this for your own good." And here is Donald last night. Even though he normally shies away from publicity, here he is on Conan.
That's right. He's a wallflower.
Happy, will she ever be happy? She's not capable of being happy. Will I ever be happy? I'm a happy person. I'm a rather content person. But no, I don't see us getting together, hugging and kissing.
He weaves her lesbianism into almost
everything.
Say hello to your wife. She does not suck.
Well,
hypothetical real quick. You know, I don't shower at my gym ever.
No ass.
Wipes
no
when
ass,
I
sure
leave and stuff like that.
No ass.
No, I clean up. I'm fresh as a daisy. But hypothetically, I don't like being around a bunch of other naked guys, because once I just showered next to my boss and my minister, and I just, that's enough. But if you had to shower in an open stall showers like at the gym, right next to Rosie O'Donnell or Donald Trump, who would you shower next to?
I think I go dude in bad shape over chick in bad shape, because when I'm next to a dude in bad shape, that to me is like seeing a car that I'm not interested in totaled by the side of the road.
Right.
But when I, no love lost. But when I see a chick in horrible shape, I drive past it and look at it and go, "Man, what a shame."
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, I could. I was in. I wanted that car in high school. Now look at it. What
see,
a mess.
My whole thing was just which was the more vile, which would have the most hobo power.
Oh, really. I see.
I like the point that you made yesterday, which I hadn't considered, because I was concerned that he kept using this word degenerate. I was concerned just because it seemed so old-fashioned, and you made the point that it was a thinly veiled reference to her sexual preference.
She has a deviant, in some people's eyes, just because of what the meaning of the word is, a deviant sexual preference.
Well, now I'm offended.
Well, the reality is whether we want to admit it or not, you take a lot of lumps for being fat, and take a lot of lumps for being attracted to your own sex, whether you're male or female. Donald can make fun of the fat part, no problemo, because for some reason we give everyone a pass on that. But if he started in on the lesbians, he'd be getting a lot of hate mail and people would be boycotting his show. So he makes thinly veiled references to the wife. Say hello to your wife. I'll have one of my friends come over there and take her away from you, meaning a heterosexual.
Right. Right.
Hope you had a nice time on your vacation with your wife.
Say hello to your wife.
Everything was contained and held back, and then I took my finger out of the dike and it all fell apart. Those kind of little subtle
dikes.
Well,
yes.
Another celebrity.
And quickly.
Yes.
I have a very close friend. One of my best friends produced her show on her TV show.
Never
or was very involved with it. No, I've never worked with her, but a very close friend worked with her very closely, and the Donald may have a point.
I'll tell you this.
That's all I'm saying.
When she first got her show, because I've known her for years.
She's worse than that.
Yeah, I remember, I've been in talk radio a really long time, and like I said, I started in the middle of the night. You'd book nobody, just have somebody talk to you. When Rosie O'Donnell started, she was nobody, and I'd book her. So I've known her before she was could fill a 200-seat club.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known her ever since. And when she got the show, I was happy for her. I didn't, you know, I'm one of her friends. But then when she started getting the handle of the Queen of Nice, because all the other shows were so mean, and they called her the Queen of Nice, that's one of the nastiest, and I don't mean nasty as in, I mean, a mean boss is what I mean by nasty. Rough ride to yell at you in front of people, you know, she's never the Queen of Nice, this lady.
No.
Well, not according to your friend.
No, and the conversation, and here's how I judge things, a couple of things. With Donald, and I know we're stringing this out, but what the hell? It's all over the news. So
string it up for one more minute.
Let's get into it. The two things about what Donald Trump said and about what Barbara Walters said she didn't say. A, it's very specific. It's very specific stuff. It's the kind of stuff, if you read the letter, that's very specific, which always means the truth to me. Number two, let's just say hypothetically that Barbara's right and she never ran into Donald at Le Cirque or any other place and he never uttered a word, or Barbara never uttered a word about Rosie O'Donnell. Barbara Walters would say, there's going to be a lawsuit because this is libel or slanderous or whatever. I never even saw him at Le Cirque. This is an outrage. Get my lawyer and then go get a guy who runs a lie detector because I'm going to put an end to this. I mean, imagine if somebody said, I ran into you and you said this about X, Y, or Z guy and you never had that conversation. You would not be subdued saying, I don't know what he means. I'm a big fan of your work. You'd be saying, this is incredible. This is a lie. This man is a liar. I if you have any huevos at all, you will come on to the show. We will hook ourselves up to a lie detector test, and we will get to the bottom of this and find out, because this is, and I'm suing.
Do it the old Indian way, too, because the suing, that doesn't work as well as you think. Mm. It's very, very, very expensive to be right.
How is the old Indian way?
The old Indian way of the lie detector is brilliant. You take two knives and you put them in the fire till the handles are bright red.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two people, who one of them is suspected of lying, stick out. They tell you what they have to tell you, then they stick out the tongue and you rub the blades down their knife, down their tongues. The liar will have a dry mouth and the knife will stick to his tongue and burn the hell out of him. And the guy that's telling the truth will just slide off and sizzle.
I feel like the old Indian way always involves knives, and maybe that's why they're not around in the kind of numbers they used to be.
Maybe the fact that they never had the wheel might have something to do with
it. That's right, but they had knives.
Let's talk about sports.
All right,
and then we should take a break.
Yesterday, Cal Ripken Jr. and Tony Gwynn were officially elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire, however, did not get enough votes to make the Hall of Fame.
That's stupid.
Most people are attributing that to his alleged steroid use.
Yeah.
And then there was some controversy. Tony Gwynn made a comment. I'm going to play it for you. Here is the former San Diego Padre outfielder saying something that some people found offensive.
My family keeps telling me to enjoy it. So you see me up here sweating like a slave up here. I'm trying to enjoy this. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy this. And I hope that we can enjoy this together.
Well, he's black, so he can say it.
Not only is he black, so he can say it, but can I say that he doesn't, but can I say very easily Jack Silver is a slave driver? Doesn't mean anything, means he works me hard.
Right.
It's an expression. I'm sweating like a slave does connote work you don't want to do. I can see it, but I don't think you can make a big nightmare
out of it. And just for clarity, Jack Silver does own a plantation and does have indentured servants who are of color.
His last name is not Silver. It's a nickname because of the mine that he makes the immigrants work in.
That's right.
Well, quickly here, I promised you Will Smith's tip, how to get sex from women.
Yes.
Here's what he has to say. Quote, comedy is better than muscles, better than money, better than looks. It's like if you can make a girl laugh out loud, you're in. It's almost like the pressure of the laugh makes her underwear fall off.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that to be mostly true.
Mostly true for women in their early 50s. Friends of my mom. But not the hot 19-year-olds who came out here to model.
Well, no, if they're stupid.
And they claim that's what they want, but then you see them that night out at the trendy club with the guy with the six-pack and the long hair and the earrings, and you think, I wonder how funny this jackass really is.
I contend that no matter how trollish the man, if he's funny
really
and charming.
Funny and in the right way of funny.
But let me explain funny. Funny is a language, and if you don't speak it, then you don't understand what
that's
the person
true.
Is saying. You
so only a smart girl can be charmed by
world's
it.
Funniest guy, world's hottest ditzy chick, and her antenna cannot pick up his funny
station. Somebody asked me to describe my old radio show in a newspaper article, and I said, well, speaking of this young lady name, and we'll call her Jenny, the Jenny and Danny show, what's it like? And I said, it's kind of like a whoopee cushion meets Mark Twain. But really, I shouldn't say I'm overstating things. I'm obviously not as clever as Mark Twain, but then again, she's not as funny as a whoopee cushion. So it depends on what you think is funny.
Well, I think that whoopee cushion may be out of work.
Well, let me end with this quickly. Yes. Brooke Burke gave birth to a daughter on Monday.
Mm.
The name of her daughter. Heaven Rain.
Oh, a nice day for T's vagina.
And on that note, I'm Teresa Strasser. And that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Whoopee cushion, not a bad name for T's V.
A lot of fun.
I'd go the other end for whoopee cushion, though.
Hmm? Oh. Mm, I see. Yeah. That's backdoor.
Oh, let's not name that.
No, let's not.
Unless you're going to go with Rear Window.
Or let's get started right away.
Is that Jimmy Stewart in your ass wearing a cast on his leg?
Yeah, he's confined to a wheelchair. We need to take a break. When we come back, something we stumbled onto, your man crush. This,
yeah.
isn't your gay relationship. This
Not
is your
all.
Man
You
man
want to have
crush.
A beer with him, like Will Smith, or like most men have a man crush on you, Adam Carolla.
Thank you. There's Alec Baldwin
yes.
I can think of. When
Guys
I
love Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
You know what?
Coffee's for closers only.
Mm-hmm. Blow hard. Yes.
No, cool.
But talented.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
In rehab with him.
Can you call him a puss?
McCullough
yes.
was.
Okay.
Hmm.
He's a puss.
He is.
Oh, here's another one.
I'm doing Hollywood Squares with this guy, and he's the center square. He's the big star.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in my room to say, hi, I'm the center square. Nice guy, couldn't be nicer. And mm-hmm. tells me all about his divorce problems with custody battles. And I go, I know you're talking about Kim Basinger. That was neat.
Right.
Right.
But I'm like the nobody square sitting next to Buddy Hackett and mm-hmm. Donnie and Marie. He's mm-hmm. the center square. And he comes to my room, and the guy, a producer comes in and goes, are you smoking in here? And I said, yeah. And he said, you can't smoke in here.
Now, this is Baldwin or a producer?
No, Baldwin's in my room when the producer comes in to tell me to put my cigarette out. He says, you can't smoke in here. And I went, send me home. And the guy just walked out of my room, and Baldwin goes, can I smoke in here? Dude, you're the center square.
Well, so
you can smoke in the friggin' box.
That's true, but maybe he that was just being courteous. Maybe
yes.
one could say he's so down to earth. He didn't.
Right.
He doesn't think
and
of himself as a celebrity.
Donny Osmond,
right,
not a man.
To my room, right. my room to smoke and make it stink twice as bad.
I think you're mistaken. His possible man crush on you, Bonaduce.
Yes. I felt that, actually. To
there
be
you go.
We'll be right back.
We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about your man crushes. 866-901-ADAM after this.
Don't go anywhere because there's a lot more coming up. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaduce.
Ooh, Carolla.
The Adam Carolla Show. Next Thursday night, the Adam Carolla Show is broadcasting live from the Playboy Mansion with special guests Donald Trump.
You're fired.
Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr., Hugh Hefner and the girls next door.
Can't remember when I've had this much fun sitting up.
And David Alan Greer.
God, give me wins!
Special thanks to NBC's The Apprentice, Los Angeles.
You're fired.
Sunday nights at 9 on NBC.
Maker's Mark and Miller Lite. Listen all this week to win your way in. Now back to Adam, Teresa, and Danny on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Apprentice, L.A., Sunday, 9 o'clock. Been watching the hell out of that show. I feel like Trump, I could have half a man crush on.
Really?
In a twisted sort of man crush way.
Yeah.
It would be, I wouldn't have a man crush on Trump, but it would be cool to hit the town with Trump one night.
See, I think that's really close to hitting the town with royalty, and that everything would be too... you know, set up in advance, and everything would run too perfectly. I couldn't give you, let me give you my polar opposite, and that'll let you know why I don't think Trump for me.
Hmm.
Mine would be Mickey Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
No car, no nothing, maybe a couple of open bottles, an arm in and down the sidewalk, and see what we can make happen.
I've got two that all the guys I know have man crushes on. They're both musicians. Bono and Bob Dylan.
Neither.
No.
Bono?
No.
Guys love the Bono.
Bono?
African guys.
I just hear, I hear Blowhard every time I hear Bono.
I hear this, because I saw the show.
Africa, Africa, Africa.
Yes, he's obsessed with a continent that he's not on. He
well,
should go
he's
there
a do-gooder.
And pick up trash.
No. See, Mickey Rourke, anything could happen, and that's the kind of life I like.
Yeah, I don't want to hang with Bono.
Who do you want to
hang with? He's smart, he's talented, he's interesting, but I feel like it'd be all about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Bob Dylan, well, I'm not a Bob Dylan fan. I think the guy's hugely overrated. I really do.
Incredibly
ballsy. I think, well, I like singer-songwriters.
No, but just an incredibly ballsy thing to say at any time, because everybody else who, whether they like him or not, are going, he's a genius.
I don't think he's anything close to genius. I don't think he plays the guitar all that well.
He sings for crap.
I know, I know sure as hell he doesn't play the harmonica very well, and he doesn't have a great voice. Now, he's a good songsmith, but so is John Hiatt, and in my opinion, much better and more prolific. Yes, I have a man crush on John Hiatt.
I know you like James Blake.
Well, don't let it last long, because I'm going to have to smack him next time I see him.
John Hyatt?
Why?
Or Bob Dylan?
He hits on my friggin' wife every time he sees her.
John Hyatt hits on your wife.
And I told him to his face, and I think he thought I was joking.
Wow.
I said, you know what I said to him?
Hold on. You better think long and hard before you tell me what you said to my man
crush.
Because
Adam has a man crush.
This is the cute little guy from that band, because there's also Tom Waits, there's John Waits, there's, this could be the wrong
now
guy.
Now, you may be thinking of the wrong John Hyatt.
Which John Hyatt are we talking about? What band was he the front of?
John Hyatt.
Mm-mm. You know what? I might be wrong, so I'm not going to go ahead and
say
that.
You may be thinking of one of the guys from the DeFranco family. What is the guy? What is your guy? The band?
I think mine is Tom Waits.
Yes.
No, he has
Tom
a real gravelly voice.
No, that's John Waits.
That's Tom Waits.
Okay, that is John Waits that I hate.
One is the front of the Babies.
Who? Yeah, that guy. That guy needs his ass kicked bad.
I went out to dinner with that guy and 10 other people in the record industry to celebrate someone else's record release party. He was asked to leave the table.
Why?
And that takes some doing.
I saw this happen 2 months. I might have been at that.
This is 5 years ago. When a bunch of, I would have remembered if you were there. If there were a bunch of us sitting around getting drunk, industry, radio, record, you know, sort of debaucherous atheist said, hey, get up and leave. We've had enough. He was hounding me.
Why?
He was verbally, he got drunk.
Right.
Oh. And he started up with that, hey, Loveline guy stuff. And it started off as kind of funny and some jabs and eventually just sort of unraveled into drunken, sort of a verbal drunken assault.
And that little guy survived it?
He was told to get up and leave.
All right, here's the last one. Ready?
Wow.
Because now, please, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. When I tell you this, don't think that man's dangerously insane. I just like really good words, and I thought this would really permanently frighten him. It's not like I would really do it. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I said to him. I said, buddy, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to knock you out, and then I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes on your fingers.
Oh. I thought you were going to say rape.
I said, you're not going to be able to open a bottle of soda, let alone grab a guitar. I'm going to spend 10 minutes
on
your
hands.
Was
he loaded when he was getting into Gretchen? Because I feel like booze is a problem with
him. For that guy,
I wish I knew who he was.
He was really cute. He's aging now.
Play one of his songs. He was the guy who was the lead of the Babies, and he had a big solo career in the mid-late 80s, and he had the one earring and the sort of reddish hair.
When I told him I'm going to spend 10 minutes on your fingers, you should have seen he went white. Yeah, this is him. I'm not missing you at all.
Oh, yeah, I remember the song.
Yes, this is the John Wait.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I know. The Tom Waits and the John Waits always throw me. All right.
Hyatt.
Man crushes.
Man crush.
Vince Vaughn.
Yes. A lot of guys like him.
I feel like I could hang with him.
He gets bloated a little bit and he doesn't mind. I like that.
Yeah, it goes out.
You know
and
what?
That's from booze, too.
Yeah, obviously.
But
yeah.
See, I get a lot of my man crushes. I'm going to get them from whatever movie of his I saw and enjoy. I saw The Wedding Singer. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think for a minute.
The Wedding Crashers.
The Wedding Crashers. I keep up with that silly banter of and weird little slang that only means stuff to him. He seems a lot a bit like Jeremy Piven. Like, I'm just too cool to speak the actual English language. I'm just going to make some words up every now and again. You should know what they mean because you're that cool.
I lost my man crush on Piven.
Me too.
When I said to him, Jeremy, you've been in 120 of the last 150 movies made. How does that work that you get in on every one of these movies? How can you be that prolific? How many auditions can you go on? Whatever. And he just looked me straight in the eye and he said, I bust my ass. I take that script home. I commit it to memory. I rehearse in front of the mirror. And then I walk into that casting agent's office and I nail it. And I said, good day, sir. That's where we part ways.
See,
when I hear the prep word, when I hear the P word, I immediately start to fall out of love. And then when I realize this guy got where he got because he busts his ass and he's dedicated and his hard work, oh, that's enough.
I
wanted him to say that his dad was the king of show business or something like that. But in turn, it turns out it was just hard work, and that's when we fell out of love.
Yeah.
Who do
yeah.
our callers have man crushes on other than you?
Well, we have Eric over here on line one. Eric?
What's going on?
Man crush?
Dane Cook.
Mm. I would have said that at some point in our relationship, but then I saw Tourgasm.
Yep.
And there's a little too much Dane Cook talk from Dane Cook.
And a little too much Dane Cook. Look at the adorable face.
Yeah.
He makes the adorable face.
I feel like he'd just be talking and looking in the mirror the whole time, Eric. But I can understand. I can understand where the man crush would come for Dane Cook.
Yeah, I think a lot of young men have man crushes on Dane Cook.
Yeah, now here's an interesting one. Caesar?
Yeah, Samuel Jackson.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that. Plus, you get a little of that black street cred. He's wearing the Kango hat.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys are going to go to...
1987 street cred.
Maybe you guys are going to hit the par three. You're just going to hit it nine holes over at the par three, and then you're going to down some brewskis. Yeah.
Here's my problem with Samuel L. Jackson. If you ask him seriously, so what living actor has been in the movies that have made the most money in history? He will tell you, me.
Bonaducci?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Samuel Jackson takes the fact that he was in Star Wars and always been in secondary and third parts, whatever it was. But collectively, he's been in the movies that have earned the most box office in the history of box office.
I think some guys have guy crushes on Jimmy Kimmel, and I know this because I used to work on When Ben Signs Money, and people would always go, is Jimmy Kimmel nice? Is he a nice guy? But the Adam Carolla man crush is to the extreme. And the way I learned that was we went to San Diego to do a live show, and I walk in the lobby of the hotel. It's filled with cops. There's a cop convention, and they're, you know, butch cops. And they go, oh, what are you doing here? Like they're, you know, maybe being a little flirty. And I said, I'm working on the Adam Carolla show. Then all they wanted to know about was Adam Carolla.
Nice. Oh, really?
Cared about me at all.
You know what, though? I'm not too far away, except for the musty odor of having a man crush on Ben Stein.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben is nuts. A little bit of a blowhard, but brilliant.
Brilliant.
And has a rare combination of blowhard and incredibly complimentary.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a sweetheart.
Danny, you are the funniest. Danny, you are so articulate. Danny. And then he'll blow hard for 10 minutes and then give you another compliment.
He came up to me at one of my 12-step meetings, which happened in public places. He doesn't have to have been part of it. But I was at the hall, and it was my turn. I don't go to the one where you raise your hand, because I would never raise my hand to speak. It's like, yeah, I've been trying to get sober 15 years.
Was he at the 12-step?
I'm not saying.
You're not going to comment.
Oh,
I think
Danny,
he would
it's
happily.
Anonymous.
I think he would happily, but I'm not. I can't.
Okay.
But anyway, after I did, they picked me to talk, so I told my little story.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me and he said, out of all the stories I have heard about this particular dilemma, that is the greatest story I have ever heard.
Yes, he's very demonstrative and very complimentary.
Ben Stein just said that to me? Like, I used to write for Kennedy.
You wrote for Nixon.
Nixon.
I'm going to toss a few out here myself. The aforementioned... Will Smith, nice man crush, although definitely leave the old lady at home, Will. Please leave that shrew at home.
Sugar Ray Leonard,
great guy. Here's an interesting one that I don't believe would make most guys' man crush list, but I would like to head out for an evening of cocktails with Steve Martin.
Yeah.
I feel like, I get some street cred.
Yeah.
As a comic, as a genius.
Yes. Yeah. When Steve Martin's on the other line, it would give you great pleasure to tell whoever was in the room with you, hold on, I got Steve Martin on the phone.
The problem is, though, and not in a creepy, shriveled up way, but in certain other serious ways, he's taking a little tiny step towards Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're definitely not going to find Steve Martin with the arrow through his head ever again.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that was funny.
Who else do you have on your list?
I have George Clooney. Seems obvious.
Yes!
Very nice.
Good-looking man
like
who draws to women, and you go out, and everyone loves him. John Stewart.
Yes. Smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Although, John Stewart.
Although I am friends with him.
Plus, if you guys hang out, you're 3 feet taller than he is. So you look like a giant.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm actually a little taller than he is. He sat on a phone book when I did the show.
He's adorable.
Here's, let's see, an interesting one. Chris?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Man,
for the show, buddy.
Thank you.
My man is Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love Will Ferrell.
Here is the problem, unfortunately, with a lot of comedians. And they're very attractive guys. You want to hang out with them because you think they'd be the life of the party.
Right.
They are almost subdued off the air or when the cameras right. shut down.
Yes.
Will Ferrell, I've talked to a couple of times, and I said to him, he said, oh, actually did a movie that I had a small part in, and he had a big part in.
You're dead. Oh,
thank
sweet
you.
Irony.
What movie?
And I said, I think it was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, okay. but I was talking to
hey,
him.
I shared a room with one of those guys.
And I said, oh, rehab? Huh. Really? I said to him, boy, we could make a list of people you've
hey,
shared a room
outing.
With.
You're outing.
I'm not outing Jay. Jay's out in every magazine talking
sure.
about it.
I said, oh, hey, Will Ferrell, hey, you ought to come on Loveline sometime. We'd love to have you. And he was like, oh, hey, Adam, why? I don't, what would I talk about? Like, he just thought, well, I'm too boring, or I'm not that interesting, or what the hell do I know about giving advice to teenagers? And he's very nice, but very quiet, and almost like comedians, you know what they're almost like? They're almost like prize fighters, in that they're as vicious as they are in the ring, is as quiet and soft-spoken as they are outside of the ring. You want the in-between. You don't
right.
find it. You either get the crazy, I'm on, I'm telling jokes as fast as I can, or quiet, subdued, and pensive.
Right.
You get that with prize fighters. You get it with comedians.
But if you get the real, true rapier wit, and I believe it because you call it the rapier wit, because you don't know you're bleeding to death till 3 hours after it's over. You're just figuring out, well, that guy said some really clever stuff at my expense, and I didn't even get it. I think I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? That the guy that clever.
I don't know what ear rape has to do with this topic, Danny, but we can talk off the air. Luke Wilson, Owen Wilson.
Both
the
of
Wilson
them.
Brothers, tag-teamed by the yep. Wilson brothers on a man crush.
Not Luke.
Not Luke.
Owen, who I know pretty well. Okay, but again, with that I'm too cool for the room thing, he's just very, very cool. But when I've seen him out of the movies, he seems like a pretty regular guy. Plus that chocolate or butterscotch stallion thing.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
What about an old school guy like Paul Newman?
Yeah,
although
a little too old right
now. Yeah, he's
now.
Too old okay. now.
Cool, cool, Luke.
And plus, he's been married for like 52 years,
yeah.
and I don't respect that.
No.
Dan?
Brando during Streetcar Named Desire.
Dan? Oh, let's
Dan.
See. Thought I punched.
Hello?
There you go, Dan.
I thought you were talking to me.
Oh, excellent. How you guys doing?
What's happening?
Not much. Love your show, man. Danny Bonaduce, you rock.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Because I get all
excellent.
These emails saying, who is the guy with the gravelly voice? And people don't know I'm here yet.
Dan, who
are
you?
Long-time listener. No, Bruce Willis, man.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 1,000%.
Yeah, not too old, but just old enough to be seasoned.
Right.
I travel a lot, so
yeah.
I'd love to be in the airport with him if anything goes down.
I'd go Bruce Willis. Yeah, I saw that. I saw Die Hard 2, too.
Yeah.
I say Bruce Willis unless he starts singing or playing the harp, in which case
I'd
probably have to pull up stage.
Here's who I don't say. How about the opposite, then? A man, a non-man crush where you just want to smack him right in his head, 30-odd foot, a grunt. What's his name?
Jared Leto?
No.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Smack that whiny bitch right in his head.
Yeah.
Men don't crush on him.
No,
I like Bruce Willis.
See, I crush on hard guys. I dig hard guys. He's not a hard guy. He throws phones at little desk clerks that can't do anything about it. I'd have beat his ass.
And I feel like Russell Crowe's the kind of guy, at first glance, you think you'd have a man crush on, but then as you start to think about it, nah, not so much. Christopher says Harrison Ford, by the way.
Not bad. I do that.
You do?
Yeah, Christopher.
Hey, Adam, what's up? I admire you, and I live my life by almost half the things you say. And, yeah, Harrison Ford's the best. But
you're going Harrison Ford.
But do you have a man crush on Adam?
Sort of, because he makes sense half the time.
I feel like Harrison Ford would have to lose the earring if we were going to head out.
Yeah, but also remember he took his own helicopter and rescued those climbers by himself.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did, right out of his ranch.
Well,
flew to the top of the mountain, landed, got him in his helicopter, and flew him back down.
I guess we could talk about
that.
That's
some
badass. One of our callers has one for Deaf Frat Guy, who's going to be coming in here
really?
In about half an hour. We need to take a break. I'll tell you what. I feel like we could keep this man crush train a-rolling. I got Playboy tickets to give out. We're going to be there on the 18th with Donald Trump and Ivanka Trump. And Donald Trump and Jr., that is, and Eunice Trump, the mother.
Right.
And, no, everyone with the last name Trump is going to be. David Alan Greer, speaking of man crushes, Bill Ranzig from The Apprentice Man Crush there, and then Omarosa. Actually, man crush.
Yeah.
Actually, look at her as a male. We'll take a quick break. We will give away, I'll tell you what, I'll give away a pair of tickets to Playboy Mansion for the best man crush.
Non-gay, perfectly straight man crush.
That's right.
A man crush, by the way, just in case you don't have it right and you're thinking about who, because that's a different game. I played on the radio, if I was gay, who you'd pick. That's a different game entirely. Mm. This is, it's just you want to be this guy's best friend and go hang and have a beer. That's a man crush.
That's right.
There's nothing gay about this.
If I was gay, it's pretty easy. You go least hair. and wafy.
When I came up with a bit in Chicago at that time, my number one guy, you wouldn't believe it, my top five weren't white.
Oh, really?
Isn't that weird? My top five was Evander Holyfield, Oscar De La Hoya, Antonio Banderas. Brad Pitt made the list. But that was if I was gay. That was that game. This is not that game.
I feel like I wouldn't be with Evander Holyfield because the guy has like 33 kids out of wedlock, and I feel like he could actually get me pregnant. I feel like I'd be the first man. I'm carrying Evander's child. We'll take a quick break. Back with Man Crush after this.
Hey, there's more Adam on the way. Plus Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. We're talking about man crushes. Which male celebrity do you go nuts for? Call 866-901-ADAM. The best is going to win tickets to our broadcast at the Playboy Mansion next Thursday night. Back to Adam, Teresa, and Danny on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's next Thursday, but this Friday, Bonaducci and friends are going to be over at the Pechanga Resort and Casino.
Yes, we are, actually.
Are there tickets still available,
in the biggest room I have ever played in my whole life. Oh, in a comedy club, like the Laugh Factory or something like that, I'd be sold out and a line down the street. At the Pechanga Room, it's two-thirds empty.
Where is the
it's
Pechanga?
It's 1,200 seats. It's in, like, Temecula area towards San Diego. Luckily, they can hear us because we're affiliated down there. There's a couple of radio stations down there that wanted me to come on to plug the show, and then I got this job and couldn't do it.
Well, here's
you've just done it.
But we just did.
And timely enough, at Adam, I really do appreciate that because
Friday it's 8 o'clock. A big room. Well, here's the thing: go down there.
I'll give you tickets.
See Bonaducci, and then do some gambling, or do some gambling and see Bonaducci, or have yourself 500 or 600 shrimp, and then eat. I don't know.
And I want you to know the comics that are with me are very funny, straightforward stand-up comics.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done the same act twice. Like I don't go out there. I don't have 45 minutes of material. I just go, and it can sometimes get really gnarly. So I think it's worth seeing. The reviews I've gotten around the country say it's worth seeing. So we've got the phones packed right now. So later, can we give out a phone number and give away like 10 tickets?
Yeah,
tickets
or 10 you can go to Pechanga. You can go to Pechanga.com.
Yeah,
too,
just tell me you want them on the Adam Carolla Show. That would be great.
All right,
thank
now,
you so much, Adam.
My pleasure.
That.
Back to the man crushes. I will be giving away, I should say we will be giving away a couple of tickets to Playboy Mansion. But here's the thing about the man crush. I can't tell you using a calculator who the best is going to be, but I think we'll know it when we hear it. Rick?
Hey, how about Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
All guys love him.
Interesting. Sweet. Could be a little weird.
No, guys
I'm
love
seeing
him.
That as entertaining. Not a man crush. A man crush, is aside from any sexual or romantic feelings at all, to me, a man crush is the same thing as a girl crush in the sense that when I have, let's say I had a huge crush on Teresa. Teresa would be the first thought in my morning. Like, I wouldn't even be fully awake yet when I'd be thinking about Teresa. And she'd be the last thing I'd be thinking about when my head hit the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that. What can I do with Walken tomorrow? How can I go play with Walken? I don't see it. I see him doing his crazy act and then going, that was fun, bye.
Well, Rick,
I agree.
Why do you have a crush on Christopher Walken?
Because think about it. Would you'd fight anybody in a bar fight if you knew Christopher Walken had your back.
Well,
no, I wouldn't.
If we were in a movie,
I
would do it, but not the frail 60-year-old Christopher Walken.
But Rick has stumbled onto something, which is that a big facet of the man crush is a guy who has your back in a bar fight.
I said that from the beginning. You know, that's a girl crush. I don't care about anybody's crush. If I believe somebody has my back, because I don't have very many friends, and you want to know why? because this is going to sound so weird. If you have two best friends, what if they both needed you at the same time? I'm like Joe Moyle.
That's a horrible reason not to have best friends.
Danny, you got two fists.
Yeah, why not two best friends?
What if one has a flat tire in Temecula and one needs a ride to the airport?
I have two best friends, and that's happened to me hundreds of times. He's exactly right. Kimmel needed a ride home from the airport, and my buddy Ray was out in Temecula with a flat.
What'd you do?
I had called Kimmel on his cell phone. I said, I'll not be able to pick you up at the airport. He said, let me guess. Ray's in Temecula with a flat. I said, you're right. He said, it happens every time, and he understood.
By the way, we're talking about Ray, and we are not hearing a monkey sound.
Oh, my God.
Weird.
Brian, I gotta say, whatever cold you got, you better clear up by tomorrow.
I'm going no on walking.
You're going no on walking.
No,
I ain't walking on walking either. Mike is on the phone. I would like to chime in with one of my own.
Please.
Richard Branson.
Yes.
There is a guy who I feel like has a nice balance between man's man and scholar, you know?
Yes.
Right.
Plus, we could hop on one of his Virgin Atlantic planes. We'd be talking about sailing around the world in a dirigible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you could say he's a man, and we could hop on one of his Virgins. It's
That's
just
right.
That you're done. You're good.
Mike?
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
What's up, buddy? What do you got?
I got Dave Chappelle. Greatest.
Again, funny as hell, but
he's
I don't...
He's going to get all the ladies, because all the ladies love him.
I'm wondering, though, like, funny as hell doesn't translate into interesting night out
right.
with. I mean, you got the weed he carries with him, you got the ladies he's got with him, you got the funny...
He's married.
But Teresa pointed out one thing, and this is just a guess on my part about Chappelle. If it came to having my back, I would turn and he'd be flying out the nearest exit. That's what I get.
Right. Yeah, you do want someone who has your back. Jeff?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Man crush, good. What's going on?
How about a pre-Sheikh Muhammad Ali?
Well, here's the problem with the man crush, as I was explaining to somebody out in the hallway when they said they wanted to hang out with Jim Morrison or someone like that.
Right.
We cannot involve a time machine in our man crush scenario.
I'd go Jefferson.
I'd be hanging out with Ben Franklin.
I'd go Galileo, exactly.
Where's Caroli's out whoring with Ben Franklin?
Abe Lincoln.
He's with Copernicus again? My God.
And I would bring him some penicillin, and he'd be, what is this device known that will keep the herpes away? I say, here you go, Ben.
So
and he'd go and say,
do you think of that?
Going back and bringing penicillin?
If Ben Franklin were in your car and showing him airplanes and driving around town and stuff, do you ever think about that stuff?
I think about going back, and I do think about, like, what would you bring? Would you bring a gun? Would you bring a flashlight? I'd bring penicillin so I could just bang my way through Europe.
Nice.
Well, I think Muhammad Ali would have been, pardon the pun, a strong contender were it not for your new time machine rule.
Yes.
Right.
And it's not.
I agree with you because that giving up the title to not go fight in the war, being the toughest man in the world
Smart,
and being called a
beautiful,
coward.
Beautiful and a great fighter.
Oh, my God. Just a hero of mine of unlimited proportions.
True, but
I don't
even,
hang with him.
Even the time machine, Ali, don't you feel like if you went out with him, it would be all about him? I feel like the give and take with Ali may not be as much as you'd anticipate.
I think you're right.
But either way, the time machine element must be eliminated from the man crush.
He's out.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see.
I don't usually suffer from that. I almost never disappear.
Here is Jeff.
Yeah, hi. 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
Maybe.
Maybe, except for when you're getting shot at. I think you'd lose your man crush.
Shot nine times, including one through the face.
Oh, no, I mean, they're trying to shoot him, but you're sitting on a bar stool next to him, so you're getting hit with what I call friendly fire.
Listen, you got to be willing to take some shrapnel for a man crush.
Find me in the club. Yeah.
Brett, now there's Brett Favre on here, which has made a few people's man. Yeah, but I'll tell you the thing about Brett Favre.
He's a football player, right?
Simple guy from Louisiana at the end of the day.
He would bore you.
I think you'd end up talking about hunting and all-terrain vehicles.
And shucking.
You know what I mean? Hunting
or
and shucking.
Corn.
Yeah, I mean, great on the gridiron, but that doesn't make him out.
Well, who in football would you want to talk to?
For me, you'd probably rather go with Joe Montana or Marcus Allen or somebody like that.
Joe Montana is a great man crush.
Yes, you hailing from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Here is a man crush that I have a personal man crush on that is going to feel like a little bit of a twist for people. This is Chris. Chris, man crush.
Hey, Adam. Big fan, Teresa and Danny. I'd like to hang out with you, too. We have a couple things in common.
Well, thank you.
My man crush is on Dave Grohl, for sure.
Foo Fighters.
had a big crush on him for a long time. Greatest rock drummer of one of the bands that changed the course of music and onto the Foo Fighters, and he's a really approachable guy.
This is what I will say about Dave Grohl. Yes, he was a great drummer in one of the greatest bands ever, and he's a great guitar player.
And sings by himself.
In one of the greatest live bands around. If you ever see the Foo Fighters, you will be blown away, and you'll be blown away by Dave Grohl. And he is a fun, nice, friendly guy.
Friendly.
You know what I feel bad about? Because I don't know him. I hate him and have to kill him when I see him.
Because your wife thinks he's hot.
No, in a way, we're in therapy about how she couldn't learn to be romantic. Mm-hmm. So she wrote these really romantic words on a mirror and gave them to me.
Yes, I saw that on Breaking Bonaducci.
And it turned out to be a Foo Fighters song. She didn't even make it up.
Really?
And the song, when you then
want to be your monkey wrench?
No, then when you read it, it was about, I want to hang myself, and is somebody else getting the best of you? And I said, this is romance? Some words from the Foo Fighters about hanging yourself? Who the hell are the Foo Fighters? So I may have to kill Dave Grohl. I'm not positive.
She used his words to seduce him.
This is a song, right? Not the song, but a Foo Fighters.
I still have that mirror. I should bring that mirror and show it with the little shells the kids glued on.
He was in Nirvana, yes.
Because I think I really like him.
Dave Grohl?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a drummer and a great drummer.
So that's pretty good.
No, I hear he's fabulous. He shows up at charity events with his guitar and just plays.
Yes. Chris? Uh-oh, I put him on hold again. Chris?
Yeah?
I'm going to call you the front runner in my man-crushing, but that still doesn't mean you can't be knocked off your throne.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, hang on a second.
You're talking about going out, and I would think that Dave is famous enough that he's going to get in and make things happen, yet he's not famous enough that everybody would be mobbing him, you know what I mean?
Right, that's true.
People would know who he is, and I think that would be particularly cool in going out and hanging out with Dave.
All right, well, I got a few more on my list. We got Bill Clinton.
Definitely.
Yes. Nice. Al Gore.
Ah.
Sleeper, but nice.
Yeah.
It's good.
Swayze. I'm not sure about Swayze.
You know, that's Time Machine Swayze. That's Swayze. Next to Kid Roadhouse.
I ran into Swayze at a restaurant, and me and my goofball buddies went up to him and told him, hey, man, we love Red Dawn and Roadhouse and stuff. And he just looked at us, and he went, okay. And that was about it.
Actually, last I talked to him, he started rapping because he wants to put out a rap album and started doing it.
Now the date is off.
Yeah. Crush over.
Chuck Norris.
Known Chuck my entire life. He's a wonderful man.
Kurt Russell. Now there's an interesting guy. And Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
I feel like Russell and Schwarzenegger I could hang a little with. Let me check the screen. Val Kilmer.
That's good.
Only because he's crazy.
Seems a little quiet.
He's in a lot of trouble, and I don't like that. You're highly paid, and you just do your job, and he's a lot of trouble. But I also think he's a lunatic, and I really like crazy people.
Clint Eastwood. I feel like he's a little old. I feel like Time Machine Clint Eastwood we can go back into the 70s.
You only
maybe
have to go back even 10 years with him.
Right. Ultimate Fighter Chuck Liddell.
Well, good
if you got into a fight, but if you didn't get in a fight, how much are you talking about with Chuck? John Madden? Blowhard. Harlan Williams?
Fun.
Harlan Williams, funny as hell, nice as hell, but you don't get any extra cred from hanging around with Harlan Williams.
No, I've got one.
I would dare say if I went out with Harlan Williams, he would be hanging out with me.
Because he has a man.
That is sad.
Change the subject.
I have one that a coach, Phil Jackson. If I were a man, to have a man.
Is that master?
Well, also, Danny, he is 4 feet taller than you. You would not be. You'd be talking into his crotch the entire time.
The lollipop.
Into his triangle
guild.
Offense.
Yeah.
The lollipop guild is taller.
You don't
than
need
him.
That. Even I would bust out the cowboy boots if I was heading out with Phil. Hugh Hefner.
No, rather die.
Do you have a man crush on Hugh Hefner?
Well, you can tell him in person.
No,
I mean, Playboy
I
want
to go to his house and I want to do all the stuff and things like that. But when he goes out, it is such an event. I just saw him at a club where I had to do something, and they had this whole roped-off thing for the entourage. It's a big setup. It seems so difficult to be Hugh Hefner. I don't mean it in a bad way. Mm. It just seems like so much pomp and circumstance.
How about Quentin Tarantino?
No.
No?
Do you know him?
No. I talked to him. I think he's probably nuts.
I did.
And he talks a mile a minute.
In Kill Bill 2, I was the husband that What's-Her-Face marries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they come and they kill everybody at the wedding.
Yeah.
So Quentin calls me in and read for the part.
Oh, you were?
Were you in the movie? I didn't do it.
Oh, okay.
He offers me the part and he said it's all great. And like I said, I have always said, I don't care if it's Quentin Tarantino or not. I do radio. And this scene was to be played out in Lancaster in the hot sun. And the way I saw the script, I was going to be shot dead, covered in sticky fake blood on the floor for 4 days without moving.
Really?
Yeah.
But 4 days.
4 days to get that. Oh, there was a lot of shot, which is those bodies laying around covered in goo.
Right.
But in the stuff, he did lines from the Partridge Family verbatim. Verbatim. Wow. I mean, he did whole scenes, not just my lines. Me talking to Ruben, talking to Keith. It was spooky.
Does he have a man crush on you, Danny?
I think, well, you know what it is? I was saying this earlier, like, I hardly ever disappear because today's big stars. I was a celebrity and they were children. I was like their first crush, so they think it's kind of neat and cute. Right.
I would go out with him if he went as Lori from the Partridge Family and just spoke in her dialogue. I feel like I could go out with Tarantino.
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right, running late. We got Carlos Mencia up here. Nice guy, I don't know. Willie Nelson, he's going to be baked off his ass the whole time. Ted Nugent, blowhard with a crossbow. Yeah. I'm going to go Dave Grohl, and I'll tell
you
why.
Grohl.
Now, look, I'll get crap for Grohl. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm looking for is unique choices. Mm-hmm. The Bill Clintons and the Muhammad Ali's, all fine choices, but what you'd expect. Dave Grohl,
no,
if they gave you 1,000 names, you wouldn't think wouldn't be on there. Chris?
I didn't know who it was.
You're going to the Playboy Mansion.
All right. Thanks, Adam. My wife's going to love that.
That's just because I love Dave Grohl. All right, buddy. Hang on. Don't leave your wife. Don't tell your wife.
Hey, is Dave going to be at the Playboy Mansion? Because maybe I owe him an apology.
Well,
if
he's listening, he may.
That's Thursday, January 18th.
That's Playboy right. Mansion. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, People's Choice Awards last night. I hear some of my least favorite human beings.
That's true.
Walked away with the most trophies, which is just how my life goes. You see, this is my problem in life. I watched the Super Bowl. I pick the team that's a 3-touchdown underdog, and I decide it's very important to me that that team wins. And, of course, that team always loses, and then I walk away dejected, even though I don't come from that city and don't care about that team. This is what I do. I pick the biggest stars, decide I don't like them, and then when they win Academy Awards and Golden Globes and People's Choice Awards, then I get disappointed as if it wasn't going to happen. Of course.
Two words, Eva Longoria.
Oh. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with the results of that after this.
There's a lot more coming up, so stick around. The Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaduce. The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Beckley, West Virginia. A 48-year-old man was charged with larceny after stealing a 69-year-old woman's purse at a Walmart. Definitely Not a Jew.
I feel like if I went into a Walmart, I would have to explain to the people in Walmart what Jews were.
How would you do that?
Well, I'd do it the way I always do it. There's the domesticated North American Jew, and then there's the wily Israeli Jew.
Right, the Sabra.
See, that's right. What I like about, one of the things I like about you is you could probably walk into any place of business and function.
Yes.
I had to go to Home Depot for something. And I don't know what it was because I don't know how to do one thing that you could buy or sell at Home Depot. As a matter of fact, I took a tiling class there and I went to the wrong one and it was in Spanish. But I don't know how to do
Hold
anything.
On. You took one of their seminars?
Yeah.
Because they'll do that thing. If you go into the Home Depot, there'll be that sign. Saturday.
Yes.
12 noon.
Saw it on The Apprentice.
Grouting.
If I remember, I'll bring you a picture of the table I made. I made a beautiful table. I didn't do it their way. I did it my own way. But it's beautiful.
Did you do it out of tile?
Tile.
Or did you bust a bedazzler out on this baby?
No, but very close. What I did was I took a big pot and made a perfect circle. Then I made a wavy thing out of cardboard and cut it out and traced that around the circle and flip it each time. Then I filled that with crushed yellow tiles. And then I filled the rest with blue, and it's the sun rising. I'd be dazzled. bedazzled those front pockets myself.
You know what was
Danny
dazzling?
Danny has four bedazzlers. Yes. I'll bet it was the People's Choice Awards.
Yes, Adam, it was. It was the 33rd annual People's Choice
that
Awards.
That was last night.
That was last night. Pirates of the Caribbean was the big winner. It was the favorite movie. Some of the winners were people you don't care for.
Who hosted? With Queen Latifah?
That's right, yeah. Have you won any of these People's Choice Awards, Adam?
Oh, no.
No. Have you presented there?
Listen, I'm not even my family's choice. Forget about the people.
You lost a Corolla's Choice Award?
My own family.
Who won it?
Well, my sister's won 18 years in a row now.
You know, and on MySpace when I signed up, there were 20 Danny Bonaduces, and I wrote back, I don't even want to be me. What are you doing?
I do feel like I am the third favorite sibling in a family that only has two siblings.
Wow.
Yes.
That's sad.
Something. No, I can't win a People's Choice Award at my house. Forget about going out in public.
Well, Eva Longoria was the favorite female TV star.
Yeah.
And if you can imagine, I don't know how many mystic tans she went through.
Oh, my goodness.
But her tan had a tan.
I know.
Really?
Here,
I feel like her liver was tan. I feel
was.
Like they actually splayed her and sprayed her innards at this point.
Here's what she had to say last night.
Thank you so much. I think it's unfair. Thank you. I think it's unfair. I have a really big Mexican family, and I think they all voted like twice. So, I want to thank everybody. Thank you. Thank you, ABC and Touchstone and Mark Cherry for writing Gabrielle. I love her so much.
By the way, it's redundant to say big Mexican family.
Right.
We'll do the math. You say Mexican family, we'll picture 135 kids running around their underpants.
Well, you were talking about Home Depot. You and Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy.
We went on a mandate to the Hollywood Home Depot.
I would not pick Dempsey for a mandate.
Well,
what occurred to me.
He lived down the street from me, and I told him one day after he'd borrowed a cordless drill for the 55th time, I said, son, put down that bong and pick up your wallet. We're going to the Home Depot.
Good for you.
And I pushed around a shopping cart, or he pushed it around, and I just threw things off the shelf into his cart.
And he bought
you need a torpedo level, you need a 25-foot retractable tape measure, you need a cordless drill, 9 volts enough for you. And we just kept going around until his cart was full. And then I said, you'll never need to go outside your house for a tool, because unless you're building a skyscraper, this is it.
But that's assuming, though, that if he doesn't have another disease I have, which is not knowing how to do anything. Also, I have between 5 and 20 of everything I need, because I use it once and
the
lose
dazzlers.
It.
And lose
I have it. I have 15 drills, probably.
Listen, if you have four bedazzlers, I would say the over-under on cordless drills like a 1,500.
It's my New Year's resolution. Just like I put your phone number and took a picture of you the other day, I couldn't do that a week ago. My New Year's resolution is not to be useless.
But I don't know if bedazzler is what your wife had in mind. I think she meant fix the plumbing.
She didn't have anything in mind. She doesn't have anything in mind.
Not pimp
she
out
just wants me to go away.
Not well, pimp out the stonewashed jean jacket.
From what Adam has to say about Patrick Dempsey, he doesn't have a whole lot on his mind either. Let's take a listen.
Oh.
I'm very fortunate to be part of a great ensemble, and I really have to thank the cast of Grey's Anatomy. I'm very fortunate to be working with all of you. Ellen Pompeo, I share this with you. Thank you. ABC Touchstone, thank you so much. And Shonda Rhimes, thank you for creating Dr. McDreamy. It's changed my life.
I don't like sharing awards with people because it's like saying, I share this with you, but I'm bringing this S home, and it's never going to leave the house.
Right.
And it's like, imagine you did that with a check. Imagine you won $1 million, and you're like, Ellen Pompeo, I share this with you, although you're not going to goddamn pay.
Well, I'm very sorry to share this with you, but America voted, and the favorite funny male star. We're going to take a listen, and I'm sorry. I'm apologizing in advance to do this to you. He spoke for a full 3 minutes plus, but I won't play you the whole thing.
I want to send props out to Warner Brothers, who made the first cartoons and had one of the most complex characters in history, Elmer Fudd, who could have done Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh, how would that
he
have gone?
He could have gone, Stella. Or I think if they had any guts, he would have had Truman Capote be Elmer Fudd. Be very, very quiet. I'm looking for rabbits. And it's an honor to be here this evening to accept this award for my portrayal of a gay penguin.
I feel like
killing myself.
Well, Robin Williams is at the top of my, this guy's definitely talented. Now, please never utter another word. I feel like I have a list of people I want to go, you are a truly gifted comedic
genius.
Yeah. Now, please go up to the mountain with the Benedictine monks and never utter another
also
word.
Also a very funny group.
Yes.
That's
what I feel about everyone who's in comic relief. I feel like Whoopi Goldberg, I was thinking of Robin Quivers. Whoopi and Billy and Robin Williams. Robin Williams. All you guys, immensely talented. Now, please stop doing comedy.
Well, here's somebody who you might like to stop singing, but instead, he's a big winner of the favorite R&B song for this little song.
So let's listen to this song for a moment, shall we?
It's one of my favorites.
I feel like sexy's back all of a sudden.
Now, what's going on? What's going on right now in the song?
He's coming up an elevator.
But don't you feel like you could create this at home with a Casio and a Mac?
My daughter does it all the time. All that she does is want to see my new movie, like in 2 seconds.
I feel like if we gave Bonaducci a Mac and a bedazzler, he could craft this out.
Well, no.
All right, so what's going on now is really nothing, right?
Do you have my description of what I think it's about? Is that what you're looking for, the movie?
No, what I'm saying is sonically, musically, what we're hearing right now.
It's a cross between techno house and Puss.
But it's really nothing. I'm not a musician. I feel like I could create this.
There's no melody, really. And there doesn't seem to be...
Has anybody seen the new guitar game, video game, Guitar Hero? It's amazing. It's amazing. My daughter has it. She's amazing on it. That's what it seems like. It's a video game of music.
My point is, why does he get mad props for and then moaning, I'm bringing sexy back with this playing in the background?
Plus, it's a murderous video. He doesn't bring sexy back with candlelight and roses. People get blown to smithereens.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
I will say this. He's an excellent dancer.
I'll give him that.
He's a great entertainer. It's just a lame-ass song.
Yeah. Hold on, Jack Silver.
And Usher.
Eastman.
Yeah.
You know what it sounds like to me?
Hmm.
The rating's going up. Let it play.
Now, are we still just playing the song? It's not on a loop?
Hasn't begun yet?
this is a music bed they made out of the intro.
Thank you. All right.
But then he comes in and groans, I'm bringing sexy back. I'm bringing sexy back.
And, you know, he recently broke up with a little lady, and that little lady won favorite leading lady.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a listen.
And your favorite leading lady is...
Martha, is that Martha Stewart bringing on?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Wanda Sykes.
Oh, Wanda
Sykes.
Thank
you so much. I have to say that I love making movies. I love it. It's the best job in the entire world. Because I think that everybody that does what we do in this business does it all for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say something personal here?
Yes.
I got an email on my MySpace about something I said about her, and I never apologize about jokes. They're jokes. You don't have to apologize.
Right.
But I will apologize for hurting someone's feelings with a joke. The joke itself stands alone, bite me, I don't care. But I got a fair amount of mail saying, when you said Cameron Diaz's complexion looks like her face caught on fire and somebody put it out with an ice pick, and she looks like Edward James almost.
Yes.
That was very cruel. I disagree. I think it was very funny.
You told me off the air Ray Liotta, not Edward James almost.
For those of you that were hurt by that in any way, I was kidding, and I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, but the joke stands on its own. It always will.
She looked great last night. She had the dark hair.
Yeah, and cry me a river because she gets 15 mil a
20.
Pick.
Yeah, she's
20
gorgeous.
Now.
20 mil a pick and every man
in
America
wants to hump
her.
Do you like her with the dark hair or the blonde?
I don't like her much, period. She doesn't do anything for me.
She could do something for me. Actually, I'd do it on her. Well, should we take a break, or do you have another drop?
I've got more, but I can also take a break.
Well, we got the Def Frat Guy waiting in the wings.
Let's talk to the Def Frat Guy.
Yeah, let's take a break, catch up with some time, have some time to fool around.
All right, we'll bring in Def Frat Guy. We haven't spoken to him since I believe we're out in the City of Industry about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So we'll talk to the Def Frat Guy next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Help a girl and settle down. Live a simple
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. He's
gone to school for 6 years, but his education's never done.
Hell yeah.
Cause all he does is find no beers and fire his potato gun. Now he's gonna teach you all about the DFG. Delta, Fu, Gamma, don't you see? All you gotta do is repeat after me.
DFG.
Delta, Fu.
Easy as we do.
Oh, and Moose gets a Woody for Shay Dashley, DFG, Delta Fu, and me.
Hell yeah, Delta Fu. Thank you for turning my mic on. Maverick, good to see you in 07, brother.
This is going to be our year.
I think it is, too. Def Rat Guy is, I'll reset for the sake of Danny Bonaduce.
Thank you.
May not be familiar with the Def Rat Guy. He was a fifth-year senior over at USC. He was in the Teak fraternity house. He was drummed out of the Teak fraternity house and started his own frat. He's now a six-year senior over at SC, and he started Delta Fu.
All right, now, can I do something? Because I've never met this guy before, and I would never cast any aspersions, but I would like to do a quick test on the deafness of our deaf frat boy, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just going to move my lips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you read his lips?
Did you know what I said?
Communications.
Look at that.
That's your major.
You asked what the major is.
Yeah, okay, dude. You're deaf as a stump, aren't you?
With a minor.
He didn't see you say that.
Right.
With a minor in funneling beer and banging hot co-ed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, that was awesome, though.
That was.
That was really cool.
And don't worry about
it. You don't get to see that very often.
Don't worry about how he can read the lips of the people that call in on the phone. He can do it.
Dude,
he's
bro,
that good.
Bro,
yeah.
All I know about this, dude, you're in the Monkees.
Right.
No, the Partridge Family. It was another band. It was a show. It was another show with a band in it.
Right.
Look, I'm a gentleman. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm snaking my job, bro.
Oh, really? Oh,
Maverick, you want
this
a job?
This was my seat to lose.
Mav, you,
dude, you're still in that seat. I'm over here.
Mav, you wanted to be my right-hand man?
I was your wingman.
You want to be my wingman?
You gave me a nonverbal agreement.
Uh-oh. Did you do that, Adam?
We had a few beers, a few words
I'm sorry.
Said. But
how do you have a nonverbal agreement with a deaf guy?
That's a good point.
There was a nonverbal agreement.
What, you shook
how
on it?
How do you know?
Dude, bros before hoes.
All right. Well, listen, Mav.
Wow.
Danny's got a bedazzler, but he's not a hoe. Yeah.
I got to say this, Mav.
And I'm one not, time a retard pissed me off and I smacked him. A deaf guy'd be nothing.
I love these guys. Look, I'm sorry for what went down here with people moving on.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. That's life.
Right.
Yes.
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
Uh-oh, you don't miss Big Tad, do you?
No, you don't.
That's life.
Right.
But the thing was, I've been waiting in the wings since my first senior year, bro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, look, Mav. No offense. You're a funny guy for a frat guy, but I don't think you have the radio experience to come onto this show and hang for 4 hours a morning.
I don't have to be in here all the time. I can be doing other stuff.
That's not a wingman.
That's not a wingman.
And Maverick, what about all your drinking? You know, you have to get up really early.
Right.
And by the way, Maverick was a very poor wingman if you ever saw that
movie. Hey, Mav.
Hell yeah.
Why don't we just quickly, just to show you how difficult it can be. Let's just pretend it's me and you.
Okay, good.
It's
okay,
Ace and the Mav Man in the morning. And I just start talking.
Hey, get going, ready for your day at work. There's some traffic.
Nah.
Today is sunny and cool.
Right, but we don't even do the traffic and weather on this show.
It's time for Maverick Sports.
No.
It's time for Maverick Sports.
No, I just feel like we'd be talking about, you know, I might be talking about...
Wait, give him a chance.
The 33 annual People Choice Award went down last night in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Do I wave to get his winner. Attention?
No, that's...
We just went over that.
Do I wave?
Yeah, see, Mav?
Hey, Mav,
that wasn't organic or exciting.
See, here's the thing. Here's a moment we had this morning. God making you see me, I'm cool, right? A mandate.
NBC Sunday. Watch out, Hollywood. There's a new star in town.
Shizzle.
It's The Apprentice.
Don't miss out on the wine tasting event of the year. It's The Flavors of España Wine Tasting and Dinner with Tom Likas. Presented by Tapas Restaurant in Newport Beach. Space is limited, so hurry and make your reservation today. Call 949-756-8194. That's 949-756-8194.
No, I hope that means somebody who's 29.
I call her Juger, but that's different.
It's someone in her mid to late 30s.
What?
I call her Luger, but she'll learn.
I'm 29.
It's someone in their 30s.
That's right.
Who is on the prowl.
Looking for man love.
For a certain gentleman who can please her.
I see.
You're close.
I see. And you're that man.
A cougar is a middle-aged woman in her early 40s all the way up to 50. Oh. With her own money in hand, and for the fun, goes on the prowl for 25-year-olds. That's a cougar.
Well, a cougar,
snow cougar is one on the snow bunny. This cougars is a standard thing these days.
So,
what is a snow cougar?
Snow cougar is one that goes on the, like a ski bunny. Remember them?
Oh.
A snow cougar is one that goes and young picks up young skiers in her mink coat.
Ah, I thought it was a cougar I was done with. So they call me the decorator. Anyway.
Oh, no.
No, it's just because I have a flair for interior design. I don't know where your head's at. The point is math.
Point
well,
is
you
this,
guys are
bro.
Talking about the same thing. It's just 5 years to 10 years older.
Point is, I would be hooking up with a lot more MILFs and cougars if I had his seat.
Oh, I see. I understand. Well, look, you're not going to have his seat, so let's just talk about your New Year's resume.
And there's so much else of my stuff you would need to help you out.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Like what does that
what?
Mean? Like a bedazzler?
Yeah. There's a couple other
like
attributes
what?
That I have.
Like a 3-inch meat puppet?
All right, look, let's not have this turn ugly. I felt like I wanted to bring you on here. Meet Bonaducci. You were going to do your New Year's rezo, and then all of a sudden you got going on the cougars and the milfs.
Milfs and cougars,
let's
bro.
Let's focus on the positive. What are your other resolutions?
To really get... DeafFratGuy.com going is a resolution of mine.
That's a good idea.
And to start moving some product, although we are almost sold out.
On the keychain funnels?
Those I need to make again. A keychain funnel, for Danny who may not know.
I don't know. Thank you.
It's a small funnel that will attach to your car key for you, if you are in traffic, to discreetly do a funnel. While driving.
When you're stuck in traffic, you can't funnel a 12-pack, you know, just sitting there in your stop. No. I mean, beer funnel. You funnel. You could funnel one of those 8-ounce Millers or something like that with this beer funnel. What I'm saying is when I'm traveling, I don't have time to bring a full-size funnel. It's too bulky.
What else in 07 have?
I sound like... I'm beating a dead horse.
All right.
But to find the gypsy girl stole everything and to finally bring them to justice.
Yeah, Def Rat Guy was out at Havasu last spring break, and he got essentially rolled by some gypsy girls.
It was Bush League.
It took his wallet.
That's awesome.
It took his one of his hearing aids, I think. They took his glasses, prescription sunglasses.
It's not awesome that it happened to you. But I think getting rolled, because I've had it happen, my friends have had it happen, I think getting rolled is one of the funniest things ever.
It is a feather in your cap.
It really is when you've been rolled.
But tell that to your empty pockets where the wallet used to reside.
Oh, now you have to get home. He's in Havasu. That's a rough one.
That's right.
How do you call someone when your cell phone has been stolen?
Right.
Well, how do you call anyone when your cell phone's doing anything?
You text them.
I see. All right, look.
This thing with Ted, too, it's like a big mystery. It's like, why do you have a cell phone, bro? It's like, hello, text message.
Right.
Right.
No, I understand. And speaking of Ted, although he's down the road, didn't he owe you a few $100s? Did you ever get that money from him?
He owed me more than a few $100. He owed me... Because I did double or nothing because I bet on George St. Pierre.
Right.
Where's my phone, you bad ass?
That's right. He went into the grotto with your phone and ruined it.
But then I gave him an opportunity.
Then you bet on the UFC.
Double or nothing.
Right.
So he owed me like 600 bones.
Right. And you've not seen him since.
Where is he? He's hard to miss.
That's a good point. We may be sitting on him and have no idea. Let's see if the ground moves. All right, we need to take a break, but quickly, Mav.
Hell yeah.
How was your New Year's Eve? Did you party pretty hard? Did you get loaded?
New Year's Eve is amateur night.
Oh, really?
But it's fun to watch other people get wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And you can... toy with them, maybe write something on their forehead when they're PO'd.
I see. You didn't? Did you boot, though? Because normally you boot on New Year's.
Dude, I boot a lot to clear the chamber.
I understand. So you just
can drink more.
You just throw up so you can drink more. All right. So did you get the Sharpie out and draw a penis on Poochie's back or do anything like that?
We did. We pointed with an arrow pointed to his mouth and his butthole. And it said, insert meat here.
Good stuff.
That's clever.
All right, ma'am. I've always said, people always talk about the differences between men and women. And we argue about it for quite a bit, but it's simply, to me, breaks down to this. If a girl and a group of other girls passes out because she consumed too much alcohol, one girl fans her while the other girl calls 911. When this happens in a group of guys, one guy goes for the duct tape, the other guy goes for the Sharpie,
right,
and the other guy goes for the video camera.
Yes, and someone's losing an eyebrow.
That is the difference between men and women.
And if you bring two together and the girl has too much to drink and passes out in the middle of the guys, you still go get the duct tape.
And the video camera.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, do not pass out in front of Bonaducci. He'll go for the bedazzler.
It'll be permanent marks. But you will shine. You'll look like a sparkly reptile.
You'll wake up looking like Dolly Parton circa 1988.
I'd be dazzled in those front pockets myself.
We will take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, thanks, Mav. When we...
Hell yeah, Delta Fu.
Danny's bedazzled as she. When we come back, we'll do a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About? Next on the Adam Carolla Show. What you think about
that? Don't go anywhere. Adam will be right back. And so will Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for a spirited round of what can't Adam complain about.
You cannot complain about Hawaii.
Well, I can. You don't have to be smart when you're living in Hawaii. You're actually smarter than everyone because you're living in Hawaii. You're staring at the beautiful Pacific Ocean, hearing Don Ho clear a bong load every morning. That's what your life is. So in a way, maybe not the IQ to rub. Maybe you don't have the brain cells to rub together, although your calves rub together when you walk.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam, Teresa, and Danny on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, news coming up, but first, what can't Adam complain about?
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
866-901-ADAM. You toss it out. I will complain about it. I won't write it down, go into a boardroom, think about it for a while. I will just complain about it as fast as you can tell me what it is. Let's start with Anna. Anna.
Hey.
What can I complain about?
Your dog, Molly.
My dog, Molly, is the greatest dog in the world, except for my dog, Molly, has a anus.
Uh-oh.
The size of a tea saucer. And one of those tails that flies up like a flag should be on it. And it's really all I see when the dog leaves the room. I just see one giant anus. As a matter of fact, I'm going to change her name from Molly to Anus. She is one big ass, and I know everyone else, oh, that's all they see when Molly trots around, too. And they have the couth not to say anything except for my ex-gay assistant, Matt, who never stopped complaining about it. I feel like I'd like to put a pirate patch over it. I feel like it'd be confusing, and it'd be a little bit of maintenance, but it would be funny. Arr. Now all of a sudden, I got Molly, and I got that black patch over it. She looks like the Barclay Man. So, I love the dog. I love my mutt, Molly, but that prodigious A she has is really hard to look at. And I feel like either I'd like to put a patch over it, or I would like to train the tail, because they do that with dogs. They'll take a Doberman, they'll lop the tail off, they'll tape it up, they'll lop the ears off,
right,
tape them up. I feel like I'd get, if anyone who's listening who does the plastic surgery on the Dobermans is within the sound of my voice, let's figure out a way to get my dog's tail to bend down.
Cover it.
I just wrap some wire around it just inside the fur so no one can see and then bend it down like a pipe cleaner. Either way, I'm tired of staring my dog in its third eye. Thank you. Thank you very much.
After the show, I will help you with that.
Really?
I have a thing.
You can do it?
my nose has been broken so many times that it's been taken out because it came through the skin, but it had this rubberish, whatever it was called, a special lubricant thing tube that went straight down my nose, and when I would get in a fight and it would break all over my face, I'd put it in a hot rag for 45 seconds, then hold it in the position I wanted it.
And it would go back?
Rag on it, and it would go straight.
All right. Well, get the rag and start boiling the water and head to the Corolla house because I'm tired of looking at my dog's butt.
God, I want to come over just to see it.
Oh, it's a sight. Kyle?
Hey, man.
What can I complain about?
They said I couldn't use the real term, but it's defacing, as in a penis. Defacing. It's when you draw on drunk people like that frat guy was talking about, man. It's been around for years, and it's even funny when it happens to you.
Yeah. Huh. I feel like 10 minutes after the first Sharpie was invented, somebody passed out in a lab, and the guy's assistant just drew all over him. Well, it is difficult to complain about. One of my problems is I don't spell very well, and I don't draw the male phallus very well, unlike Kimmel. Kimmel's the guy you want to be with when somebody passes out, because he is a penis artist, and I mean that in the straightest way possible, but nobody draws a better set of junk than James Kimmel, and nobody will whoop your ass at Scrabble faster than Jimmy Kimmel.
Wow.
So that guy will not only will he not misspell do me in the backside, but he will draw then a penis that is really a Picasso.
Vince Van Gonads.
Yes, Vince
very
Van Gonads.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem, man. Take it easy.
All right, so really my penmanship and spelling is what stops
me. They hinder
me.
You.
Also, I'm left-handed, so when I bust a Sharpie out and I'm drawing an arrow, you know, over to the guy's butt and it says free cowboy hats, I'm smearing it along the guy's back. You know what I mean? It's like drawing, when you're left-handed, you can't use a chalkboard. Also, children. I feel like now that I have kids, they may turn the Sharpie on Pops when he falls asleep.
No, they turn it on themselves. They draw
on themselves.
Over themselves.
Yes, I don't want to wake up to find a huge penis drawn on my son's back.
He's a pirate one day. He's got an anchor on his chest. He's got where they draw all over themselves in Sharpie.
Right. All right.
Keep the complaints coming.
Let's talk to Sam. Sam?
Yeah.
What can I complain about?
How can you possibly complain about In-N-Out Burger?
Tough. We've had this one before. I love In-N-Out Burger, but there's two things. Maybe three. One is, I feel like we need about 100 more of these places.
Yeah.
Because there's not a time in the day that I don't pull up to one that there's not at least 15 cars in front of me. The other one is there's always that dilemma. Maybe we should head in. Oh, the line is too long in the drive-thru. Maybe we ought to just walk up. I feel like every drive-thru place needs to have a red stick out in the parking lot that basically says, if you're behind this stick, park the car and walk in. If you're in front of this stick, do it that way. Because I'm always in that no man's zone. Look, if there's two cars in front of you, no-brainer, drive through. If there's 25 cars, get out of the car and walk in on foot. I always feel like I'm in that 9 to 13 car no man's zone. Should we get out of the car? Then the little argument. I'll get out of the car. I'll go in. You stay in line in case, and whoever comes out with the double doubles first wins. So I want that stick out in the parking lot. But also, the secret language that goes on over there.
Yes.
It's skull and bones, I tell you. There's some kind of thing going on.
I know a couple of them.
Yeah, and then you do that thing where it's like, what happened? Well, I got a double double and I paid $3. Oh, ho, ho. What you should have done is given the guy the special handshake. You would have got four patties. He would have given you $10 and finished you off in the parking lot with a handy. Well, how does this work? Oh, no, you didn't ask for it animal style. You
got to
do this. Oh, if you do this. Oh, no, he'll know what you're talking about.
Ask for it protein style or Atkins style, and there'll be no bread on it.
You want a shot of bourbon in that shake? You just got to say the right things. I feel like if I had the right combination of words, I'd be driving away in a new Ferrari with a free double-double.
In that case, if I may help, yes. I'm just the tiniest bit. What you're saying is a place as convenient and lovely as a hamburger joint should not make you feel stupid.
Thank you. I don't want to be shamed. I don't want to feel like it's some frat that I'm not
right,
in.
Right, that I'm not in.
Yes, yes. But again, a great burger. I just wish there was one on every 10th corner instead of 20th corner. They're too crowded. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Charles. Charles.
Hey, Adam.
What's happening?
What's going on, bro? Danny, what's up, bro?
How you doing, man?
Hi. Adam, how in the hell can you complain about the College Bowl Championship?
Well, it's interesting. One thing is these guys are getting younger and younger, and it's making me more and more angry. They have guys that are out on the field, and they're true freshmen. They're literally 18 years ago. They're literally 18, and what I want to say is 6 months ago, they were in high school. Mm-hmm. Now they're standing out in the 50-yard line with the word Tostitos spread out underneath them, playing in front of 100,000 people and millions of people across the world on television, and they're 18 years old. And plus, college should have nothing to do with it, because don't tell me that middle linebacker with the cougar tattoo on his 22-inch guns is graduating from anywhere anytime soon. And then the third thing that makes me mad is when these guys do turn pro and they leave college early, they always talk about going back to get their education. I know guys with degrees. They make less money than everyone else I know without a degree.
Right.
A degree these days, especially a four-year degree, that's good for about between $29,000 and $35,000 a year. These guys are signing contracts for $35 million over 6 years. Screw education. You can buy your way into any place you want when you have that kind of contract.
I ran that gamut of emotion with you, because I don't know what a College Bowl thing is. And then when you started with their youth and their money and their great education, I just want to go, the other thing, and have it go well when you don't understand it. That's pretty cool.
Thank you. The other thing is the sponsorship. Like I said, Tostitos.
Yes.
And then you think to yourself, how much goddamn money can you make from selling corn chips? And the answer is evidently limitless. I mean, the amount of money you must have to pony up to get your logo emblazoned on the center, on the 50-yard line of that field. How many bags of those chips do you have to sell? And it's not like they're in, you know, airplane manufacturing. They make chips. They make their money 89 cents at a time,
right,
and they are kagillionaires.
Right. There's 200 Americans per second eating Doritos.
That's right.
That's, you know, that's awesome.
Now I'm hungry. All right, one more. Let's talk to Andrew. Andrew?
All right, I got you with this one, Adam.
Mm.
Butterflies.
Yeah,
about butterflies. Oh. Yeah.
Well,
nice job, Andrew.
Butterflies. Yes. You know, it's a weird thing about butterflies. Everyone is in love with a butterfly. Yes. Everyone wants to get the old sailors would get a tattoo of a butterfly. People draw butterflies. They make mosaics of butterflies. Beautiful women have nicknames the butterfly.
Right,
butterflies are great. You float like a butterfly. You sting like a bee.
Uh-huh.
But somehow the moth, all we want to do is swat them. And it's really weird, because the difference between a butterfly and a moth is the difference between a color TV and a black and white TV. It's exactly the same thing, just a little bit of color. Yet we must kill the black and white and not the color. And I don't like what it says about our society, which is you can serve the exact same function. Nobody knows what a butterfly does. It's not like a butterfly. What's a butterfly do? Oh, it cures AIDS. It's working on cancer right now. It's artificially inseminated many women who were not fertile. No, it flies around and eats stuff. The same as, really, a roach and a butterfly. I don't know that a roach, or I don't know that a butterfly does that much more good and a roach does that much harm. A roach is ugly, therefore it deserves to be killed. A butterfly is beautiful, therefore we ought to get a tattoo of it. I'm saying a moth and a butterfly are almost exactly the same thing. We can't stand moths. We love butterflies. I hate that about this society. Thank you. And listen, all you moth haters, you take a good look in the mirror. Thank you.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
You know, it's funny. I don't like to brag, but my mind works. I was about ready to go to break, and I looked at the thing, and it said butterfly, and I thought, well, I have no feelings about butterflies. Nothing funny. I have zero feelings
about
butterflies.
You thought I can't complain about it.
I can't complain about it. I looked at the screen and I thought, I have zero feelings about butterflies. But I thought, oh, hell, I'll punch it up. Maybe I'll have some feelings. As it turns out, I now want to do another half hour.
You want the best one. But that's, see the way your mind works. That's where our mind the same way. If it would have been me, no feelings. You got to hit the mic and go, how good am I at this really?
Well, I don't want to challenge myself. I just thought, tease news isn't due for about another 8 minutes. But what's coming up in the news, baby doll?
Well, can you complain about Suzanne Summers?
Yeah.
Because her house burned down.
Complain about her husband.
Well, we'll be hearing a little from her, and also Donald's latest angry missive, and the latest way that you, a devoted girlfriend, can smuggle heroin into jail for your man.
We'll do that next with the news on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
A man in Missouri and his girlfriend got into a fight. Her cell phone ended up shoved down her throat.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
All right, T. Take away the news, baby doll.
President Bush is going to be addressing the nation tonight, and he's expected to talk about sending more than 20,000 additional American forces to Iraq. He's also expected to acknowledge that it's been a mistake to have not had more troops fighting the war. This, according to a senior administration official. Meantime, sectarian violence in Iraq is continuing unabated, and approval of Bush's handling of the war hit a record low back in December. 27% of people approve. Somebody who is not for sending more troops is Senator Ted Kennedy. Here's what he had to say.
Iraq is George Bush's Vietnam. The best immediate way to support our troops is by refusing to inject more and more of them into the cauldron of a civil war that could be resolved only by the people and government of Iraq.
He went on to say it's a bitch to get a drink in a Muslim country.
I feel, yeah, that would not be a place for Kennedy, any Kennedy. I feel like possibly George Kennedy. Is he still alive? I feel...
Jamie Kennedy,
no. I feel like, sadly, I found out the definition. I've never heard of sectarian violence until 40. I was probably 40 years, it was probably 2 years ago the first time I heard the term sectarian violence.
Did you think it was secretaries and receptionists fighting?
It's not.
Okay,
I feel like my kids are going to be well aware of sectarian violence by age 5 and a half.
Did you know what an insurgency was?
Yeah, that I had, but yes, there are all those sort of embedded in insurgency, yeah, and civil whatever and sectarian whatever that you don't even know about until CNN tells you about it. But I feel like my kids are going to be well versed in all that stuff before their 10th birthday, and that's sad.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope there's a resolution to the quagmire that is over there. Closer to home. A fire ripped through Malibu. You may have heard about it. It's a swanky seaside neighborhood.
I know.
And
it's tough when you're rich and your house burns down because everyone just laughs.
Right. They go, Suzanne Summers, oh, cry me a river, all your thigh masters burned.
It's funny, though, when people always go, oh, come on, they're rich, they'll rebuild. Yeah, but there's scrapbooks and mementos,
yes,
and awards and things like that that you can never
I
get
thought
back.
The same thing.
You know
they're
what?
Irreplaceable.
You know what? We had this discussion on a radio show one time, and I would get up and walk out the door and wouldn't grab a thing. Wouldn't even look for anything if I had all the time in the world.
Really?
Really. I would do anything
Hold
to start
on.
Over.
Hold on. Bonaducci, what if your beloved bedazzler was left behind?
There's more bedazzlers in the world.
Now I know.
Listen, my friend. All right, this is going to sound like showing off.
I know you have a picture in the front window of a bedazzler, so the firemen know to head
to
in.
I bedazzled those front pockets myself. I have this 1967 almost GTO that won't run.
Mm-hmm.
I have a four-car garage filled with I don't know what, but not any of them are cars.
Mm-hmm.
I just have so much junk that I don't want or need, and it's expensive because when I first started to make money, I thought you should have it. I would almost pray that my house caught fire and burnt completely to the ground.
I will tell you a true story. As I mentioned yesterday, I believe, I talked about it yesterday, but it happened the day before. 15 firemen showed up at my backyard. I came down the stairs with my naptime wood and a bathrobe, and there was 15 firemen standing in my backyard. Ozzy had let them in, and they were surveying mountain fire risk assessment, looking for dried brush, whatever. I went out and said hi to them, and I took all 15 of them into the garage, and I said, if a fire breaks out at the Carolla house, this is the first place you head. These are my children. Now, my twins, don't worry. I can throw him into the pool from the second story.
Right.
Oh, no.
No problemo. I've already worked out that scenario.
What about your wife and dog?
I'll toss them in right after the kids. I can chuck anything into a pool. I'm good. I'm very accurate within about 40 yards. So don't worry. I'll throw everything into the pool. You guys focus your life-saving. Focus it on the garage.
Well, you want to hear what Suzanne Summers had to say? She actually had a pretty good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a death in the family, and, you know, we'll rebuild, and I really think that we'll learn something great from this. And what else can you do with a tragedy? But look for the opportunity to grow spiritually and emotionally, and I know that we'll learn something great.
Hmm.
I understand Pamela Anderson's boobs melted and put out her fire, and her house is fine.
Is she in Malibu? Oh, yeah, she's up in the hills. I talked to
real quick about her house. I'm sorry.
Her house.
Her house with Tommy Lee, the one with the swing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sober living house now.
The sex swing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been turned. Yeah, the kid died in the pool. There was a sex swing in the entry hall. But it's now a place for sober living.
It's now sober living at $22,000 a month.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, sweet irony.
Mick Fleetwood told me that when there was a fire up in Malibu 10 years ago, he took every antique guitar he had and every amp and every piece of expensive equipment, musical equipment he had, and threw it in the pool, thinking that's the only thing that would save it. And then the fire completely missed his house.
And all the guitars were warped.
Well, yes.
Well, here's another civil war, and that is the one that's taking place on the soil of The View. It is between Rosie O'Donnell and Barbara Walters, and of course, the grenades are being thrown by Trump. Here's the latest. Just when you thought it was over, Trump wrote Rosie O'Donnell a letter. Here is some of that letter about this ongoing feud. Dear Rosie, I hope you had a wonderful vacation with your wife.
With your wife. You big fat lesbian.
It says that in italics. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, it says that. You needed the rest.
Because
you're fat and have to lug around a lot of weight.
That's
Should
right.
Can we translate this letter as
yes.
we go?
Please.
All right, here we go. Your
An article in today's New York Post indicates that you blew up at Barbara Walters for being a liar.
You fat coos.
Blew up like a Macy's Day Parade float.
That's Actually, right. I don't blame you, but in fact, she lied to both of us.
I do blame you. And where are my wife's boobies?
After your maniacal...
Once in a while, your mind strays.
Right?
God damn, I love his wife.
After your maniacal and foolish rant against me 2 weeks ago...
Oh, sorry. Yes, I was thinking about Melania or whatever. Now I was thinking of Melania.
I'm back in.
Yeah.
Barbara called me from her vacation. I did not call her.
That witch called me from hell.
In order to apologize for your behavior.
Now, that's true.
She had heard that I was going to retaliate against you and tried to talk me out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard the letter in full as done by Pat O'Brien on the insider.
There have been so many things done by Pat O'Brien.
And it basically sounds like I hate to side with Trump on this one. I think Rosie's funny on the show, and I think it's good, and I'm sure the ratings have gone up because 10%. all the controversy and whatever, and I wouldn't fire her because I don't want to sound like the guys I make fun of, but at the end of the day, it's a business. And if you can get more eyes onto your product and sell more product, then everyone's made their money and everyone can go home.
And vice versa with what happened here, what happened at a radio station with me. One of the general managers of a radio station was also the godfather of my daughter. And he told me, business is business. And if I need to fire you, I will fire you right then and there. And the second I do, I will then open my wallet and ask if I can help you out. But at the end of the day... Business is business.
The celebrity feud is good for everyone.
I had that with my wife recently, by the way, but go ahead.
I was going to say, the views ratings have obviously gone up. The Apprentice, the sixth season premiere, unfortunately lost out to both Desperate Housewives and Grease. You're the One That I Want.
What the God? That does not suck. Hold on.
Wait
a minute. We're number one everywhere.
Well, not so much this season. A little down.
All right.
So
we'll bounce back.
Going to bounce back. Now, in closing, I'm going to tell you about a 42-year-old woman in Connecticut. Her husband is in prison, and she wanted to help him out. Here's what she did before heading over to the Great Meadow Correctional Facility in Connecticut. According to state police, the woman cut open a tampon, put 2.5 grams of heroin, 10 morphine pills, and a small scalpel inside of it, and then put it where tampons go.
Now, that is cutting open the tampon applicator.
There's like a cottony a long cotton thing.
That's inside the applicator?
There's a string.
No, she's the cotton applicator thing. Is gone.
The applicator
is
gone.
In her.
Right, but what I'm saying is
here,
I don't know that much about tampons. I do know I fished an applicator out of a garbage can when I was younger and used it like a telescope.
Right.
Which was sad when someone explained to me what
Here's
it was.
Here's how it worked.
Yes.
She shot it out of the applicator into her dry hand. She opened it up, filled it with all the contraband.
But here's what I'm saying. How do you fill a ball of cotton or a strip of cotton with contraband, is what I'm saying.
I think you empty out the inside of the cotton
and
the outside.
I'm picturing a tampon, and I'm having trouble filling it with things.
Here's what you're not getting. You're getting that she shoots it out of the applicator, cuts it, scrapes the inside out, fills it what she wants, recalls it, restuffs it into the applicator, inserts it in herself, and her actual apparatus, her body parts, hold it together.
I would assume she would absorb everything that
they're
she
in,
put
oh, no,
in
they're
it.
In balloons. You
Not only is this already a delightful story,
yes.
but it damn
turns out
stuff.
That the woman named Cassandra works as a third grade teacher. She was charged with two felonies. I guess there was somebody gave the tip that she was trying to smuggle in drugs. She was charged with promoting prison contraband and conspiracy, as well as misdemeanor drug possession. And now she's in county jail waiting for someone to smuggle her.
Well, listen, I hope that my children are lucky enough to have someone like this as their teacher.
Yeah.
Someone who's going to, a real world, someone who can strike a balance, which is, look, we're going to finish off reading the Phantom Toll Booth, and then I'm going to tell you how to smuggle H into the joint.
Basically, you want me.
Via the basket. That's right.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, we're in rehab real quick, and, well, not real quick, 30 days, but there was this one kid that just kept hallucinating all the time, and they searched you constantly over and over and over, and he was getting his mail. And then they drop a blotter acid on every stamp. And you peel the stamp off and take the stamp and hallucinate all night long for the whole thing.
More
news
you can use. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
All righty. Well, I'm going to give you people a choice. Two things. Two topics
Which
we can
people?
Get into next.
Us you people or them?
Yeah, I'll give us you two people.
Okay.
Mr. Blackwell came out with his list.
Have it right here.
We can get into that, Beth.
Just dynamite.
Worst dressed celebrities, all that good stuff. Or something we stumbled onto, which is House on Fire, what are you taking out of it?
Ah.
Suzanne Summers lost hers. Bonaducci's going to take a bedazzler. For me, it's toss the kids into the pool and focus on the Ferrari.
Right.
What would you take out of the house? What couldn't you replace? What wouldn't the insurance cover? Or what is it? I don't know if it has to do with money or insurance or keepsakes. I don't know what it is, but for me, that's an interesting topic. I'd like to know if your house or apartment was on fire, you can take one item out of there. And listen, none of this cornball crap like yourself or your wife or anything like that.
No, that doesn't count if it's a lie.
Love letters.
And I don't want any pets either.
No pets, no love letters?
Love letters I think are okay. I think if it's alive, it takes it for granted that you try and get it out or whatever. I just don't want to hear about it.
I would like to hear objects, something I could roll up and smuggle into a prison. I'm saying I want it to have substance. I don't want ideas that you take. I don't want husbands and wives or pets. I want them to be keepsakes, medals, things like that. What would it be? We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to you after this.
Next Thursday night, the Adam Carolla Show is broadcasting live from the Playboy Mansion. Adam takes a meeting with special guest Donald Trump.
I don't see us getting together, hugging and kissing.
And also his kids, Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr. Hugh Hefner and the girls next door.
Can't remember when I've had this much fun sitting up.
And David Alan Greer.
God, give me wings!
Listen all this week to win your way in.
Well, it seems to be a very big story, but we also have to honor commitments.
All right. Thanks to The Apprentice Los Angeles. Sunday nights at 9 on NBC. Maker's Mark and Miller Lite.
You're fired.
Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
I am going to give out a pair of Playboy Mansion tickets where you can join us. The Apprentice, L.A., Sunday nights, 9 o'clock, NBC. Best thing you take out of your house, and again, I'll decide, and we'll award you these tickets. I had this philosophical thought as it pertains to taking things out of your house as I was thinking, what would I take out of my house? First, I overheard Stoner Dawson producer, production manager Stoner Dawson say my grandfather's guitar and then amend that with weed. Evidently, because you can get your grandfather's guitar on any street corner but pot.
Wait a second. If his house caught fire, wouldn't that be like an enormous bong?
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, once a year when the sheriff's department does a raid up in Humboldt.
Yeah,
that's basically what it would be like. If the wind was blowing the right way, the entire, you know, the entire valley would be high. But let me say this philosophically. I have this thought when the phone rings. If you dive for it, that's a bad sign. I mean, if you're sitting around the house and the phone rings and you jump on the first ring, that's a bad sign. On the other hand, if you sit there and stare at it while it's ringing, that's bad, too. The healthiest is 2.5 or 3 rings. Okay. I feel this way about stuff you'd take from your house.
Right.
I feel like if the answer is nothing, that's not a good sign.
Right.
But if the answer is I have 1,000 things, then you're a materialistic pack rat.
Right.
I think the healthy thing would be like 2 things or 3 things.
So what are your two?
That's the thing. Well, A, the phone.
Right.
2.5 rings into it.
Dawson's weed.
Right.
Once again, it's
weed.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Dawson's grandfather's weed.
Dawson has now decided he's going to fill his grandfather's guitar with weed.
And what do you think is in my dad's urn?
Les, truly creating an El Cabong.
Just so you know, I stand by my, though, particular, because I'm not going to add much more to this. No, absolutely nothing. I would actually consider it a huge favor in my life if everything absolutely burnt to the ground and I got to start over.
Mm. And like I said,
I don't play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I have 27 guitars in my house.
Now, wouldn't you want to take that 68 Strat or whatever the hell's the most valuable in your collection?
Have people sign.
Oh, okay, but still, somebody signs it. That's valuable. I don't know.
I
would say I wouldn't head to the kitchen. I don't feel like produce or a bullet blender would be one of the things. I think I would head to the office and it'd be something to do with a scrapbook or something like that.
A wedding photo, maybe.
Huh?
Like a wedding photo?
Who's?
You and Lynette?
No, we got someone else. I don't have my own wedding.
Oh.
We have a photo album with people are getting married in it, but I'm not in
you.
It. Yeah.
Do you have
your
or
my wife's boobies?
Do you know where they are? Your photo albums and stuff like that?
I do.
See,
yes.
I don't know where anything is anyway. People make jokes all the time. Like, they'll say, hey, where do you keep the glasses? And I go, I don't know, in one of those five cabinets over there.
You'd have to send your wife in.
Or just
let
find
it burn.
A glass. It's a kitchen. You can find
no,
a glass.
No, I mean,
minutes.
If the house was on fire and you needed a glass.
She'd probably run around and look for pictures would be my guess. But I would take absolutely nothing and hope it all
maybe
burnt.
Our callers have some ideas.
Don?
Hello.
Hello. What would you take from your burning house or I'm going to guess apartment?
Are we talking to me?
Yes, Don.
Good, because you're up on me.
I'm sorry. My phone cut out.
Sorry.
I have a huge collection of hockey cards worth about 15 to 20 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely grabbing those.
Mm-hmm.
Have an autographed Mario Lemieux jersey. That's going with me.
The cards, playing cards, hockey cards, baseball cards, and comic books, I never got down with.
Man, I never cared about that.
I never cared about it because it involved reading and then looking at pictures of guys doing sports rather than throwing a ball at somebody's head.
To me, I have a signed Pepe Le Pew jersey that I think is very important.
No.
I'd wear.
I might go for the porn. I told the fireman, by the way, I have a picture in my window. There's
right.
one picture of a dog that says there's a pet, and there's another one of pornography.
Did Jimmy Kimmel draw it?
Ron Jeremy. It's a profile of Ron Jeremy with an erection. You must go get the porn.
I mean, I know you're partly joking, but is this a fire-ready thing that I don't know about? Did you put things up that the firemen would really know were in there? Pets, animals, kids?
No, but I do think that...
Because I don't do any of that.
As well as the sticker for the, hey, there's a dog or a cat that lives in this house.
Kid.
Yeah, or a kid, why not the porn sticker? Or why not
you can replace your porn.
Because my daughter's bedroom is
on
the
second.
Third floor.
You are dead to me.
Why?
I can replace you. That's
who
I'm going to replace.
You know
how
what?
Dare
I'm
you.
I'm backing you.
Is there such a thing as irreplaceable porn?
No, I am backing you completely on this.
You've got your favorites, I'm sure. But...
I'll tell you this. Once in a while, there's that porn you haven't seen since high school, and you get reunited with it.
Right.
And it is a beautiful, feels so good. When I gave Kimmel Sex Boat. Him and his neighbor Cleto, that was the first nudie videotape they ever saw, was a Sex Boat. And when I reunited him with Sex Boat, he fell to his knees in a heap.
You never forget.
He wept. He fell in a heap.
He fell in a heap and he wept openly.
Wow.
Wow.
I think those were tears. Either way, I had to wipe my shoes off. Jeff?
Yeah, hey.
What would you take?
Well, you kind of beat me to the punch. I'd take my laptop.
Mm-hmm. Because that's filled. You feel like it took you 10 years to fill that laptop.
Well, actually, it's an internet portal, which is another word for porn portal. So you can get
right.
much porn.
I feel
porn
like
man
just called
right.
a porn hole yeah. and got rid of that tea. But do you feel like, I feel like anything you worked on for 10 years, you know what I mean, or 5 years yeah. or whatever. I mean, a laptop you could get for $1,000, but not the 5,000 man hours you have. Right. Man hours. There's a rental. Yes.
You can pull up outside any Starbucks and just download whatever you want.
All right.
That's where I
want
to download porn. Now, see, Adam made some sense to me there. My book, which was one of the three difficult things in my life. I'm very blessed in certain things. The things I get paid for kind of come naturally to me. I just do them. I have a great time with you guys, and it's fun. It's easy, and I'm, you know,
right.
the luckiest guy in the world. The third degree black belt was super hard to get, and it took a really long time. Writing my own book word for word.
What,
was
what about
really
the
hard.
Black belt? Would you take the black belt?
No, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take any of my trophies. I still sell my trophies from when I used to fight.
And answer honestly. Did you bedazzle the black belt?
No.
Okay. Because I got to say, if you got to take your shoes off when you enter
Hold
the dojo,
I
the bedazzler
not...
must be checked at the door as well.
He said
I'm
no.
bringing my bedazzler Adam. Just so you know I'm not fooling. And I'll bedazzle some of yours if you want.
I did not
oh,
hear. I did not hear Kim Chi.
Oh.
When he said that he didn't bedazzle the black belt.
I got to tell you, Brian's been nursing a head cold, and I don't know what else is
Ask
going
him
on
again.
With this kid. True or false, did you bedazzle the black belt?
No.
That's a lie. Kim Chi, did he bedazzle the black belt? Oh, when you hear an Asian flute, it doesn't lie. Somebody took a bedazzler to a black belt.
No, well, my black belt is so old, it's a very light gray now. That's part of, like, to show how long you've been at it.
Kurt?
Yeah.
What would you take from your burning house?
I'd take my bong collection, man.
I think we may have a winner. And, and a kindred spirit for Dawson. As a matter of fact, if you both your houses catch fire at the same time, you're going to have some kind of party on that sidewalk.
How many bongs?
For sure. I'm going to bring all my bongs, my pipes, bubblers,
How
whatever.
Many in the collection?
I'd say close to maybe like 25.
Now, do you remember the other day on the show that Adam made a mention to a carburetor, and now all cars are fuel injected, and I said, as far as I know, all a carburetor is that little hole on the back of a bong that you let your thumb off and all that smoke shoots up into your lungs.
Right.
Yeah,
so
the carb.
The carb, yeah. exactly. Well, I'm a bit of a bong aficionado, so I would just like to know. Now, do you have any version of the atomic bong? My preference would be the one that's so tall you actually use it while standing, and it goes all the way up to your mouth.
You got
to
work
with
that.
Like a five-footer?
Yeah.
I have an acrylic five-footer, of course.
Dude, he's good.
I got
that's
one that's bigger than that Ricola
heat.
Pipe. I actually worked the carb with my big toe.
He's good.
Oh, well, that's the way to do it, man. That's
All right, Kurt.
The way
He's
to
a front
it.
Runner,
All
but
right,
is
Kurt.
There anyone else?
So you're saying, everyone's entitled to Adam's opinion.
Thanks, Dawson. You're saying if your mom's house caught on fire, the bongs would be the first thing you would take out of it.
Oh, for sure.
All right.
Those bring a lot of memories and a lot of shopping to do for
that. A lot
those.
Of memories.
They're all incorrect memories of stuff that didn't even happen to him.
You're taking a walk
yeah,
down
I can
memory
remember
lane.
It all, right?
Yeah.
But you do live at home with mom.
No, actually not yet. Actually. But she did buy me a bong in Amsterdam.
Your mom bought you a bong in Amsterdam?
Hell yeah.
I think I bought your mom in Amsterdam.
Well, she's been there quite a few times, so it could be possible.
Wow. The Hesher doesn't fall too far
is
from the tree.
Is there a wholesome listener who would take something sentimental?
Let's see. We have...
No, I'm hoping not, because we're talking to the wrong people.
Vinyl collection. Oh, we're running late for break here. Let's see. Mom's ashes.
There, that's nice.
What did you think, feel like ashes could survive a fire?
Didn't she burn already?
Computer, bong collection.
Sweet irony.
I'm going to give this one to Travis, because he's bold. Travis?
Yeah.
What would you take?
Xbox.
Nice. Wait a minute. Hold on. Jennifer?
Yes.
Your personal sex tapes?
Yes. Those are irreplaceable.
Well, that's not porn.
It is
porn.
No, but I mean, you can't get that on the internet. That's you.
It's irreplaceable.
You
all
right, Jennifer, I'm going to see you at the Playboy Mansion.
Good.
Hang on. Bring some that's tapes. Right. Bring the tapes.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Don't go anywhere, because there's a lot more coming up. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci. The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, that's it, y'all. Well, I'm out of time. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, don't worry. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat station. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Exactly how fascinating is Carolla?